Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. After a one-day hiatus, here we are off and running on this 18th day of September 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is also where you find the Horn chat room, which is a great way to augment your live listening experience. If you go to HeadOn.live and click on chat room, well, you will be immediately meted and greeted by the likes of Squeaky and Dowhead and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator for the first time in months, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, it's only 82 degrees there at the Man Cave. With an air quality index of 77. So, welcome back to Space Folding Man Cave. And welcome to Timothy jumping into the chat room. Good to see you. I just got to say this because it's rather of a momentous occasion. You know, we're a little over a month away from the Horn's anniversary. And never, ever, ever in the history of this long-running conversation, this program that has outlasted entire progressive radio networks, never have I gone a broadcast week behind the microphone without a cigarette. Well, that's where we are now. Your humble and reasonably genial host has not had a cigarette since about 10 o'clock Monday morning. And there have been no cigarettes incinerated during any of the programs this week. And, well, we didn't have a program last night because I was busy being Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver. But I didn't incinerate any cigarettes then either. And let me tell you, we've talked about how we associate these things. You got to beat the association, not just the Jones. So, cigarette with coffee. These are a few of my favorite things. Cigarette with coffee. Cigarettes with broadcast. And cigarette in the car. Yesterday was a big test. Oh, hi. I'm former smoker, Bob Kincaid. Yesterday was a big test because I hung 180 miles on the vehicle. With the exception, well, no. I added it up since Ferg took this job. We've put in excess of 2,500 miles on the vehicle, going back and forth with me being his amateur Uber driver to Beckley. Yeah. But in all of that driving, no cigarettes. And frankly, they're abusing the hell out of him. The other people who work there tend not to show up on time. So yesterday he worked 8:30 to midnight, and that's 8:30 a.m. But he's got his mama and me's stubborn streak, and he won't quit his $9 an hour job. But in all of that driving, no cigarette. And so I'm feeling pretty good about all of this. One thing notwithstanding, I have found my appetite, or my appetite has found me. And now I understand about the weight gain, because I've turned into the creature from Little Shop of Horrors, and I just walk around saying, "Feed me, Seymour!" Yeah. And by the way, just a little early entry in food porn. And this is just a cultural thing, too. Here on the East Coast, Pennsylvania has given us two of the nicest forms of convenience store that I have ever witnessed. And I remember, what, it was a couple of years ago when people in D.C. were flipping out because they were going to get their first Wawa. And Wawa is very much, as our buddy Todd can tell us and has, is a very much Philly thing. But Wawa now extends down into Northern Virginia and Northern Virginia and out and around the Philly area and up into D.C. and I don't know, maybe even further north. Well, that's what Eastern PA gave us. Western PA gave us Sheetz, which is the functional equivalent of Wawa. They're almost even laid out exactly identical. And unlike crappy little convenience stores like the one that Ferg works in, they've actually got some quality stuff in there. They bust their ass to have a clean store. They've got a coffee bar that is the envy of Starbucks. And they do decent snacks with a deep fryer and a microwave that are fairly respectable. But their cold case is really where they shine. And I found something, because I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying to limit my calorie intake. And I mention all of this because if anybody else is thinking about doing this, I want you to know that you can. I absolutely want you to know that you can. Seventeen years of this broadcast, and every single broadcast has included me smoking. And only since Monday, the 14th day of September, has this been a smoke-free broadcast. So I'm a hardcore. I'm a hard case. I'm a nicotine fiend. And frankly, I'm still working on that end of it. I put a patch on before bed, and then I go to sleep and watch the David Lynch home movies all night long till I wake up about, you know, 6, no matter what time I went to sleep. Last night it was 2. 4 hours later, bang, awake. And then after I've been up for a little bit, today I had my first cup of decaf, and I enjoyed it, and I didn't just sit and vibrate wanting a smoke. So those are little victories. One thing that does come with quitting smoking is that your lungs. Why am I up speaking? I don't know. Now I'm verbal frying. But your lungs will start clearing all the gloop and the glop in them. And so there may be some coughing breaks during the program. But anyway, made it this far. I'm inspired to continue it. But at Sheetz, I found a wonderful little snack. No carbs, I don't think. And it looks to be pretty decent quality. The brand name is Volpi, V-O-L-P-I, and they've got several different combinations and flavors, but the one that I've landed on is a little slice of prosciutto wrapped around a nice piece of mozzarella. And as an added bonus, the prosciutto has no nitrites or nitrates. So yum. And those things are nice, filling little snacks. It's just a single mozzarella stick wrapped around with a piece of prosciutto. And so it's a whopping big protein load. And I found them very satisfying. And when I saw at my local Sheetz that they had an entire unopened box of the little bastards, well, I jumped on it like a duck on a June bug. And I've been snacking on that and been drinking a lot of tomato juice. And so I think the vitamin C is a good thing. But if I can do this, and you're, and I'm not going to become one of those holier than thou, smoking is the devil, man. I enjoyed every cigarette I ever smoked. And I can't promise I'm going to be quit 4 or 5 days from now. I'm taking some lessons from my friends who have worked the 12 steps with regard to alcohol. Again, with the upspeak. Is that going to come with the not smoking? Because I don't know if I can do that. But I'm taking some cues from my friends in the 12-step alcohol program. And one of the things that they have taught me is that you cannot say you have quit for any period of time. You can say, I choose not to right now. And I choose not to at this time. And sometimes you have to just sit there and watch the hands of the clock sweep by until the craving passes. Like I said, these little pouches are a real blessing. And my God, there's a million flavors of them. I found mango pouches today, and that was nice. And there's citrus, and spearmint, and wintergreen, and cool mint, and fresh mint, and cinnamon. In the mornings, my favorite is the coffee. That's nice. Something else I figured out earlier. Did you know that there is a Grateful Dead song for every situation in the world? And there's one for quitting smoking because, well, getting over the hump early is a hell of a lot harder than dealing with it, and it gets a little better every day. And so, consequently, this came to mind.
Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore.
Yeah, see? And I don't think that's going to screw up the rerun because there wasn't enough time in it to trigger the DCMA machines or what the hell ever. Yeah, the DCMA algorithms. But the first days are the hardest days. And we'll just keep going. I remain highly motivated. Today, you can't do it all at once. So today I added in the next element to all of this. And I took a brisk bracing, because today was very autumn-like. The skies were gray as hell, and it had been raining. But I took a brisk dare I even say it, energetic walk down the local rail trail. About a half hour's worth. And none of this dawdling and meandering. I mean, I walked with a will. And here's another thing I haven't done in eons of smoking. I ran some of it. Our buddy Dr. Allen down in Texas would be so proud. But, and I love that trail because it literally travels through hundreds of millions of years of geologic time along a path that used to hold a narrow gauge railroad track that that carried the life and wealth out of this little area. So I did that too. So all in all, exhaustion notwithstanding, and the fact that I don't know when we get off the fucking 4 to 12, it's been a very good week. It's been a very good week. And yes, Ralph's, those are those snacks. Volpi, V-O-L-P-I. And they are, there's a Oaxacan cheese with uncured chorizo. There's a salami, there's a pepperoni, and then my favorite, the prosciutto, and just can't get enough of them. So if you see them at your Wawa, I don't know if Wawa has them, but Sheetz does. If you see them, if you're near a Sheetz, try them. Hell, you can probably order them somewhere. I mean, this is the connected world. Randy in PA says, I gave up on Wawa because, you know, the price of stuff, you know, the price of stuff only after it's been prepared for you and you get to the register. A great snack is on the way. Ooh, thank you. A snack, and I'll be picking that up tomorrow. At Beckley at the post office. Annie's Worcestershire sauce. Randy says you can mix that into your red gold tomato juice. Filling, delicious, and low-cal. Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds wonderful. Lee awarding a cowbell, and I'll take them whenever I can. Don't argue with me or skip this. You deserve a cowbell for a broadcast week without a single cigarette. Ring that cowbell. Congratulations. And I will. Thank you, Lee. Thank you very kindly. But I've gotten a little bit ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to an anonymous friend in the international contingent of our Horn Community Family Congregation. Thanks as well to Stephen. Thanks to Grace. And thanks to Cecilia. Thanks to Will in Chicago for taking down the fundraising goal by a nice lick. And thank you to Nancy. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Renee in D.C. for getting us started. Thank you very much indeed. Those are our partial sponsors for yesterday and today. Now, where are we? Well, with Will and Chicago's kind contribution, we are down to $690 to finish the week. $690 to come up even with all the fundraising we needed to do. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Renee. I was just looking for the notification. Much appreciated. $685, yes. Now, good news, courtesy of Chris in Germany, there's a challenge on the table. It's a $200 Bob's Quit Smoking, Let's Take the Stress Off Bob challenge. If that's met, well, Chris will double it. And also, courtesy of our pal Rico in DeBerg, another challenge. The amateur Uber driver challenge. $50 challenge. I'll add $25 to it. A $25 tip for our poor bedraggled driver if it's met. Maybe it'll help with gas. Love and peace, Bob. Signed, Rico in Stiller's Country, as long as COVID doesn't intervene. Thank you, Rico. Thank you much. So there's $250 worth of challenges on the table. That would take us down by, that would leave only $240 in the aftermath of that. Hopefully we can make that so that we've got this, you know, we can and keep paying bills and get us into October and our anniversary month. It'll be the 15th anniversary of this program in its present form and the 18th anniversary overall. So thank you, Rico, and thank you to Chris in Germany. We've got a fighting chance to knock this thing out. And in addition, a $100 anonymous When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. That goes on after the other challenges have been met. Thank you very kindly to our anonymous friend. So that would mean a total of $350 in challenges, which would get us, which if met, would get us within $40 of finishing the week. So thank you very kindly to our anonymous friend. I thought so. Flavio, master of the art of word knowing, reminds us that the brand name of that little meat and cheese roll up, Volpe. Volpe, V-O-L-P-E, is fox in Italian. In English, we have the adjective volpine or volpine. Volpine, V-U-L-P-I-N-E. Volpe is fox. The plural is volpi, foxes. Plural, foxes. Thank you. Thank you, Flavio. Rico reminds us, I quit smoking cold turkey in 2003 after a 35-year eventual two-pack-a-day habit. My advice, drink a lot of water and chew on straws. Fauci approves of this method. Seriously, after 2 weeks, it gets better. Buona fortuna, and Buddha bless you, my friend. Blessings in return, Rico, dear friend. Buona fortuna. So that's two Italian references in a matter of minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. Putting them down, Ron in Raleigh says, I'm as happy as a pig in slop that you've decided to stop hammering in the coffin nails. January 1st will be 47 years for me. There were no patches or any other pacifiers when I quit. Oh, yeah, you know how to hurt a guy, Ron. I just decided that I was stronger than any habit. I never picked him up again, like the line from Waterboy. You can do it! Thanks. Thanks, Ron. I know, my mother quit smoking in 1973, maybe 1972. And the only thing she used as a crutch were Brock's butterscotch discs. And I don't think I recall her even gaining weight. But then again, she was an amazing woman. Cool. Ralph says she can get those Volpe snacks at her local Pick and Save. Awesome. I think, well, far be it from me to tell you which one's best, but damn, the prosciutto's good. And thank you very kindly to James in Illinois getting us started on the challenges. Thank you, James. And thank you to Frank. So that takes us down to, we are $35 into Chris's challenge. That means $165 left on that. And then Rico's challenge, and then the anonymous When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. So we are off and running. Thank you, Frank, and thank you very kindly, James. And this, Bob, points of clarification from Wednesday's journal. Giraffe and I are also reticent concerning placing a sign in our front yard, but we really do not think anybody would damage the property, even though there are some maggots in the neighborhood. Also, you suggested using verbiage such as adulterer or fornicator instead of saying he cheated on all his wives. Well, Bob, these are maggots, and they will not know the meaning of such erudite vocabulary, considering they have a very limited language and do not read a dictionary, a Bible, or a newspaper. Finally, Bob, you suggested Giraffery was a stuffed giraffe. Well, I'll have you know, Bob, that that's just not true, because Giraffery and I were both weeping when Silent R. Lamar was lamenting the other evening. Indeed, I understand. And if my reference to Giraffery being stuffed was in any way taken as fat shaming, well, I did not intend it, and I know there's no such thing as a fat giraffe. On the eve, Joey continues, of the 162nd anniversary of the Dred Scott decision last night, this bastard Bill Barr attempted to equate slavery to a national lockdown. Barr said, "Other than a slavery, a lockdown isn't the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history." Hey, Barr, you want to know what real intrusion of civil liberties looks like? Dying is an intrusion of civil liberties, you dumb, smug, arrogant, frog-faced bastard. I added the frog-faced part. And you, Barr, want to talk about an intrusion of civil liberties when you and the administration in which you serve as Attorney General are actively attempting to sabotage an upcoming election? An intrusion of civil liberties is when voters are actively purged from voter rolls for, well, you know, just being of a certain pigmentation. An intrusion of civil liberties is when the Postmaster General orders sorting machines to be dismantled and removes mailboxes in key critical swing states. Finally, an intrusion of civil liberties will be after Trump loses the election and the likes of you will undermine the vote count and create chaos in attempts to invalidate the election results. Your fingerprints will be all over this, as you will have a huge hand in this political coup. You, along with all your corrupt cronies, will have your own secret honor system. It will be known as the Bar Code. Oh, well. There's always a cowbell somewhere in the journal. The entire point of the lockdown is to keep people safe, healthy, and alive so that they can eventually once again enjoy all their civil liberties. What's that, Giraffery? Go ahead, Giraffery. Fill us in with your uplifting thoughts. Giraffery speaks in distinguished tone. Well, is it not interesting that the sanctimonious right-wingers are so worried about the mother hurting or killing her unborn baby? They seem so concerned about life. However, when the Democratic Party expresses concern for the safety, well-being, and the preservation of life by keeping sick, infected people away from the populace, the Republicans claim that it is an intrusion of civil liberties. I do believe the goddess of irony has struck again. Well said, Giraffery. Quite the thinker Giraffery is. This has been Joey's Journal for the Thorn in the Side Thursday, carried over to Friday, September 17th, now September 18th, with Giraffery very much up for another lockdown. And for Friday on the front porch, a federal judge has ordered Louis DeJoy to cease in his ploy of the Postal Service he wishes to destroy. This is like the rhyming scene with Inigo and Fezzik in The Princess Bride. And according to a woman by the name of Troy, destroy, Troy, ploy, DeJoy. Donald Trump is a Trojan horse. It's a two-cowbell journal now, as well as a frightening little boy. And that's Joey's Journal for Friday, the 18th day of September, with Giraffery not horsing around. And Joey and Giraffery close by saying, hey, $50 challenge, let's put Bill Barr behind bars. I agree wholeheartedly. So, here we stand with enough challenges on the table to finish the week. To review, Chris's yay for Bob quitting smoking challenge. Rico's challenge, Rico's Rico and the Berg Stillers fan challenge, including a tip for the amateur Uber driver, me. The anonymous When Billionaires Choose You Lose challenge. And Giraffe and Joey's Let's Put Bill Barr Behind Bars challenge. So there's an ample opportunity to double your money and help keep things going here. Thank you so much to everyone putting the challenges forward, and thanks to everyone responding to them thus far. Note coming from Mighty Mouse. Bob, if it's not price prohibitive and I stock up on sale when I can get two for $5, I strongly recommend low-sodium V8, 140 milligrams versus 600 or more in regular V8 or tomato juice, plus makes a Mighty Mouse, M-I-T-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E, makes a Mighty, M-I-T-E-Y, fine Bloody Mary, and all the additional spinach, watercress, etc. Good on you for the smoking effort, too. Well, thank you, Mighty Mouse. I love me some V8. I don't mind the low sodium version at all, but I have recently, thanks to the good offices of my friend up at the Wiggling Pig, I have been reunited with my favorite tomato juice in the world. Namely, one of the few things. I mean, we've got friends, members of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Indiana, Talibandiana, but this is one of the few things, products that comes out of Talibandiana, of which I am decidedly fond, and that's that Red Gold fresh squeezed, not from concentrate, tomato juice. Oh, it's just wonderful. And in the meantime, there won't be any. I can make the virgin variety, but there won't be any legitimate Bloody Marys in my future because, in addition to knocking off. Nicotine, well, not nicotine, but knocking off cigarettes, that necessitated the elimination of the little bit of booze that I consumed. It'll be a longer while than coffee before I can tolerate any booze without immediately just cigarette. Yeah. And yes, that's true too. I think in terms of vitamin C, but Randy in PA reminds us tomato juice contains a high amount of vitamin A, which is a fat-soluble vitamin. And fat-soluble vitamin excesses are not eliminated in the urine like water-soluble soluble vitamins are, so it's possible to overdose on vitamin A. But it would probably take a lot. And along those lines, remember, because this goes under the category stupid white people, when the colonialists came here and started stealing everything that wasn't nailed down, They were terrified, refused to eat tomatoes. Imagine that. Imagine Italian cooking without tomatoes. But it's true, because the tomato is a member of the deadly nightshade family. And Thomas Jefferson, for all his faults and flaws, was the first person of any note to actually serve tomatoes at his table. And, you know, that's way up in the 1700s. And yes, tomatoes are technically poisonous, and green tomatoes in particular. But you would have to eat a shit ton of them. That's a complicated scientific and biochemical term, shit ton. You'd have to eat a shit ton of them in order for them to have any effect. So probably similar with the vitamin A issue, my guess. Randy adding, you can get low-sodium V8 cans by the case from Amazon. That's where I get mine. Quite reasonably priced. I am set for that wonderful, wonderful Worcestershire sauce. I can't wait. I'll be running to the mailbox tomorrow. Intrusion on civil liberties. Yeah, that. I don't know why it seems like all the really vicious, hateful shit happens when I can't be at the microphone, but the idea that a lockdown is an intrusion on civil liberties, somebody just needs to scream at him for a while. Treat him not how the protocols demand that he be treated, with a bunch of fawning and bowing and scraping and tugging of the forelock, but just sit there and scream at him about what a horrible, terrible, awful human being he genuinely is, Bill Peppy the Frog Barr. Intrusion on civil liberties. Ron in Raleigh says, I guess those World War II Japanese internment camps were put in place to protect inmates. By the way, Bill Barr has the second most punchable face. See, great minds. Bill Barr has the second most punchable face in the current maladministration. Grandpa Joe has said punishing members of a previous administration is not a good idea. Yes, I did get your note about the Mayfield ice cream. Sometimes one relaxes one's standards for certain things, and that's one of them, because the Mayfield ice cream has high fructose corn syrup in it. But I wouldn't be eating a lot of it anyway. And I can't find it in the stores nonetheless. Damn it. Yeah, I know. James in Illinois, intrusion on civil liberties. I guess kids in cages don't count. After all, we ain't them, and they ain't our kids. Fuck you, you arrogant, unfeeling, conscienceless, I added the conscienceless part, bastard, Bill Barr. So, it's hard to really give voice to just how obnoxious and how hatefully oriented toward the Constitution Bill Barr is. And let me add something to this to make things even worse. We talk about music from time to time on this program, and, well, look, the reference to the Grateful Dead. And it's really frustrating and annoying and saddening when somebody whose work you have appreciated and loved over the years turns out to be a shithead. Well, Renee in D.C. clued me earlier today of just exactly one such shithead. And in this case, that would be, of all people, for fuck's sake, Van Morrison. I mean, why couldn't it have been Pat Boone? Why couldn't it have been Lee Greenwood or Kid Rock or Ted Nugent? But no, damn it, no. Renee made sure I knew about this business with Van Morrison, the man who gave us Brown Eyed Girl. Have I told you lately that I love you? Domino, When God Shines His Light, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. Wild Night. And there it is. The BBC reporting that Van Morrison, purveyor of Irish soul, is releasing songs, protest songs, understanding that the Irish have a long history of protest music. So long, in fact, and so effective, that the English crown, at one point in time, banned the Irish from singing words. And that's where we get this, where we get those old Irish ditties. Oh, tiddly, foodly, diddly, I day. Because the English wouldn't let them sing in words because all they did was protest the way the English were treating them. And so, yeah, according to the BBC, damn it! Sir Van Morrison, Your Majesty, I mean, I know I don't owe you the Your Majesty or anything, and I'm trying to be respectful here, and I know I've said some awful things about you and your family in the past few years and over the decade, but Your Majesty, Could you find your way to rescind? Could you find your way clear to rescind that knighthood? Because, well, any of your subjects, I mean, I presume this is an English knighthood, maybe I'm wrong, who advocates for other people to be killed by a virus that we can protect people from simply by maintaining our distance and not being around each other for a little while, well, it is not worthy of the sir. And see, it's not just that he's pissing and moaning about the lockdown. Apparently, he's also verging on the territory occupied by those denizens of the Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium, Odditorium. He's halfway to being an anti-vaxxer. And so in his song, he sings that scientists are, and this is a quote, making up crooked facts. And singing that the new normal is not normal, and we were born to be free. Van Morrison recorded this trash in Belfast and somewhere in England. And they're jazz and bluesy R&B. So I guess there's a decent chance that this may actually influence people and thereby make sure that more people die of this godforsaken pandemic. In fact, he's not exactly subtle about it. One of the three tracks is No More Lockdown. No more lockdown, no more government overreach. No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace. Seems to me that Mr. Van has lost sight of what exactly constitutes a fascist. And he also quotes Boris Johnson's government's UK government statement. COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease in the UK. Now, bear in mind, in order to be a high consequence infectious disease, COVID would have to have a 50% or a massively high fatality rate, like the 50% of fatality rate of, say, Ebola. The health minister of Northern Ireland, Robin Swan, said, "I don't know where he gets his facts, and I know where the emotions are on this, but I'll say that sort of messaging is dangerous." He refers to the attempts to save people's lives as pseudoscience. Ah, Bucko in the chat room says, "I was never a fan anyway, so go ahead and fuck off, Van Morrison." Well, I was a fan. Emphasis on the was part. Ugh. Well, Darlene's ahead of the curve. Yeah, Van Morrison. Knew he was a creep because my ex-boyfriend was really into his music. Sorry, Bob. Well, not. I hope you don't hold that against me, Darlene. In former years of my misspent youth, I mean, that's how George W. Bush described his 40s, wasn't it? There were merry times had listening to Van Morrison. During my cup of coffee in law school years, the album that he cut with the Chieftains, called Irish Heartbeat, was just a delight. It really took some of the sting out of studying for one's contracts exam. But, well, damn it. So, a great big giant honking fuck you to Van Morrison, plague rat. Ah, thank you, Sharon. Sharon with a note. Congratulations on smoking cessation. Such an insidious habit. It took me several times to rid myself of the habit, and it's been 25 years. I also chewed on straws and drank a lot of water to quit. Unfortunately, I still crave a cancer stick, usually on a hot summer night. My father-in-law, who had a 60-year, three-pack-a-day of non-filter Camel's habit, had to quit at age 69 when he had a heart attack and then a quadruple heart bypass surgery. He lived to 83, in which he still tapped his shirt pocket where he formerly kept his smokes, whenever he got excited. Muscle memory lasts a long time. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Thanks for that, Sharon. My dad died at 82. Not long before he died, he said, I want a cigarette as long as my arm. So, yeah, I know what I'm up against, but Gotta be strong. I'm motivated. I'm highly motivated. And then Brendan. Hey, Bob. Hey, Brendan. Van Morrison, a fellow product of Northern Ireland, despite his musical creativity, is a quite mean, nasty, and contrary piece of work. You know, a fucking asshole of a person. And I had heard that somewhere along the way. So, well, he's behaving according to type, is what you're saying, Brendan. Well, good on you, Dave, number 11. I like to see creative solutions. Dave, number 11, says, I'm putting all my Van the Man albums in my Yeti cooler and shooting it. The Van Morrison of the 1970s lives forever. Fuck 2020 Van. Yeah, just another thing that 2020 fucking ruined. Oh, that's good, Jimmy in the chat room. Vanish Morrison. Ah. Well, and it's not just 1970s Van Morrison, Dave, number 11. Quite frankly, it's Astral Weeks Van Morrison. Because up until I read this, and I don't know how I take it off the list, frankly. Up until I read this story, and there's a lot of people like me out there for whom Astral Weeks is on your Desert Island playlist. You know, you've only got 10 albums. And for a lot of people, Astral Weeks is easily out of the gate. Oh, yeah, that. So go figure. More thanks to go out. Thank you very kindly, Kevin. In Massachusetts. Thanks a ton, Kevin. That means that we are $70 into Chris in Germany's challenge. And thanks to Jeremy in Vermont, we're $80 into Chris's challenge. So we're making real progress. It's not just the Van Morrisons of the world. Freedom! Flavio reminds us, Becky Bradley of the fucking Wisconsin Supreme Court. At least it's not Patience Roggensack. I guess they're buddies. Compared Governor Tony Evers' stay-at-home order, no shit, to the Korematsu decision that said it was legal to intern people of Japanese heritage during World War II. Really? Says Flavio. She compared the governor's safer at home order to the forced internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. So your point about Bill Barr? Well, the point about Bill Barr, Flavio, is that he's the Attorney General of the United States. And he can use his powers from the dark side to hurt a hell of a lot more people than Becky Bradley of the fucking Wisconsin Supreme Court. And also, he is merely, and she is merely, and Van Morrison is merely, and sadly, one among many. Whoa, really? Then again, says Flavio, you don't have to pass the bar exam to get your law degree in Wisconsin. Whoa. I get what they've got a diploma privilege where all you've got to do is graduate from a Wisconsin-based law school. West Virginia used to have that. Lockdown, says Jeremy in Vermont, only slightly better than slavery. Bill Barr also mentioned. Fucking fat turd, says Jeremy. And I agree. Ugh. Oh, and by the way, I kind of got ahead of myself. There was so much that I wanted to update everybody on. This is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. And here in about 9 minutes or so, we'll be jumping into the conversation. And so much to converse over. If you'd like to be part of Friday on the Front Porch, run over to headon.live, for those of you who never have. And click on the banner, the button at the top of the page, and that will carry you right into the Skype group, wherein we will gather for the end-of-the-week conversation that is such an anticipated and looked forward to and enjoyed little bow tied atop the box that is the broadcast week. And I'm not kidding when I say that there's oodles of stuff that we can address, because there's no damn let-up. Just to give you an idea of what's beginning to take shape here in almost-level West by Cold Trump Jinyistan, Jim Justice's state that we all just live in, the most populous county in the state of West Virginia and the home of the seat of state government is, of course, Kanawha County. That's where Charleston is. And recently, the Kanawha County government and the city of Charleston have both put in a request for two military-grade field hospitals to serve as a supplement, as supplemental hospital beds for the hospital beds that Kanawha County is rapidly running out of. Maybe it would have been a better thing if those things had been set up, say, back when we entered the lockdown in March. Oh, wait! The county and city governments requested those things back in March, but they were turned down. And now the county and city are getting desperate. Kanawha Charleston Health Department official Dr. Sherry Young said, for the past week, we've had 40, 50, 60, and as high as 70 cases in a day.
Well, in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want you to think that that means that I don't want to play football.
Seventy cases a day. And so we're rapidly running out of hospital beds. Dr. Young said the hospitals right now are treating people from all over this area. There are about 60 individuals in 4 hospitals on COVID. 20 of them, just 20 of them, are from Kanawha County. The rest are from surrounding counties. That came from Kent Carper, the president of the Kanawha County Commission. Kent Carper added, ambulances don't drive themselves. Defibrillators don't operate themselves. Ventilators don't operate themselves. And Dr. Young added, we've seen the inpatient census go up for COVID numbers, and we've been watching it go up. The big surge we thought we were going to have, the magic date of April 24th, didn't happen. So I realize that that's a tiny number compared to other places. But as we discussed at the beginning of the Dondemic, a beaten and bedraggled place like West Virginia has no margin for error. We have one of the sickest, most frail and fragile populations of the country. And if this thing gets going in earnest, we're fucked. But good. So there's that. Little investigating work being done by the Texas Rangers. And Williamson County, Texas, is in some shit. Because the leadership of the sheriff's office there actually rewarded deputies with steakhouse gift cards when the said deputies beat the shit out of people or used force, aggressive force, in dealing with the citizenry. J.J. Johnson, Deputy J.J. Johnson, and Deputy Zach Camden got Logan's Roadhouse gift cards. They were involved in killing Javier Ambler. He was 40 years old. The emphasis on the word was. They tased him four times while he shouted that he had a heart condition and couldn't breathe. He was, of course, an African-American man. And the guys who killed him got fucking steakhouse gift cards. A Williamson County deputy gets a steakhouse gift card for being what the sheriff considered, or I'm sorry, Commander Steve Deaton considered, a Wilco badass. Williamson County, Wilco. A Wilco badass. According to former Deputy Christopher Pisa, who dropped the dime, they had the intention. Well, I mean, he was interviewed by the Texas Rangers, and you really shouldn't lie to them. And he's not. They had the intention that we were all Wilco badass, and if you went out there and did your job and had to use force on somebody and he agreed with it, then you'd get a gift card. The Austin American Statesman obtained an audio recording of that. Pease's statement was corroborated by former Sergeant Troy Brogdon, who resigned last year after a 20-year career with the Williamson County Sheriff's Department. He rose to the rank of supervisor in the Criminal Investigation Division. Brogdon said of the commander Steve Deaton, "He would talk about it in groups, including supervisors' meetings and classes, and I was like, what the hell?" Suburban, or Williamson County, for those not familiar, like me, with the layout of Texas, is part of suburban Austin. Yeah. Jesus. They're monsters. They're fucking monsters. They're sadists. And yeah, I guess you can argue psychopaths. But for God's sakes, let's don't rein them in. Let's give them a fucking steak dinner. Well, thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, I won't hold it against you, Bob, as I also bought several of Van Morrison's CDs for my ex's gifts, and That's what a good girlfriend does, right? Now, add this latest insult to the shit list of regrets for having bought those CDs as my ex broke up with me right after the last purchase. So with this Van Mora Plague Radisson confirmation, I want a refund! I don't blame you. Really? That's it. That's a shitty thing to do right after you... Oh, that's bad. That's just bad. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Congrats on keeping up the good fight to rid yourself of cigarettes. I'll add my mom quit 40 years ago and still craves an odd cigarette here and there. And so does my 96-year-old grandmother, who hasn't had one in 50-plus years. I think that's the nature of addiction. Because you can get clear of it. You can get clear of the chemical dependency. But as, somewhere along the way, you've rewired your brain. Because that's what all addictive substances do. They touch, they affect pleasure receptors, I think, to put it simply, probably too simply. Came to the show late, says Silent R. Lamar. Howdy, Bob. Is you live today? Well, if not, I had something to say, but due to the fact I can't remember. No, your name's Bob. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, that thing I can't remember, that Trump is a dumb fuck. And I'm waiting. Sonic popping sound. When he pulls his head out of his asshole. I don't think that's likely to happen anytime soon. Steve in New York with an offer for Darlene. Darlene's breakup, if she wants, I'll go beat that guy up, says Steve. That's how we are in the Horn Family Community Congregation. We're always looking out for our brothers and sisters and otherwise undefined siblings in our dispersed little group. Okay, so we are into the second hour of the program. Oh, and this won't wait. This cannot wait until either Moran Monday or prayer meeting Wednesday. We're just too far away from it. Our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor sent this along. I could actually hear her giggling. I could. I really could. I could, and just in the messenger link that she sent, I could hear Joy giggling. And we'll get into this as we get into the meat of the conversation. Headline: 911 call from intoxicated Jerry Falwell Jr.'s house last month describes a lot of blood. Beckeye Falwell, Leather Dom, Beckeye Falwell, told the operator that her husband had cuts on his face from falling after he'd been drinking. Yeah, he
fell down. Yes, he did. He fell down and cut his face, and he'd been drinking. Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it. We will get to it. But right now, let's run over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we've sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein the members of the extraordinary ordinary roundtable conversation group gather. There's no head of the table because it's round, but the seat of honor is, of course, occupied by Sparky, who has moderated the group for lo these many years. And he's folded space to become Man Cave. So, hey, Man Cave!
Can you hear me?
Yo, Sparky.
Yep. Can you hear me?
That's you? Yeah, you're in a Becca. You're in a barrel.
Something's wrong with my Skype.
Who?
Somebody started the call. I didn't do it.
Okay, do we need... Okay, let's kill the call again. I'll hang up and we'll try again, okay?
I don't know if I can get out of this. Stop killing my Skype and let's start.
Well, I know an update came through and that usually screws things up.
Well, I can't see the screen or anything.
Hmm. Yeah, and you're feeding back something fierce too, Sparky.
How do I sound?
You sound good, Billable.
Hey, I think Jeremy started to call like.
Yeah, but that one I saw that ago. One I saw that one and then it went it that but that one went away.
Yeah, that one went away. So I don't know what happened here. I was going to say Sparky sounds accident. Like either Sparky's in a well or I'm hallucinating. I'm not sure which.
Could be both.
I'm still on Patty, but I can't get to it now. Oh, man,
it's
driving me nuts.
Well, Sparky, it's obvious. It seems obvious to me that what we're hearing is the onboard microphone to whatever device you're on, because that's not your usual clear self.
I unplugged my camera.
Aha. Now you're better.
That's better.
Yeah, you're fine now.
Okay, because I don't have a regular screen like I usually do. I can't open it up and see anybody. All I see is the message screen with the chat room. And all my contacts and everything.
I wonder, is that you typing? Who's banging away at the keyboard like they're waiting?
It's not me, and I can't mute anybody. I don't have any controls.
It ain't me.
And there's a lot of feedback coming, so that's apparently not from you, Sparky.
Well, I'm going to do a restart. I don't know what else to do.
I think you're right. I'll hang up. So that gives me a chance to go back to Becky Falwell. It was a week after the Reuters article. Yeah, you remember the Reuters article, don't you? The one that Cucky Jerry and Dom Becky and Giancarlo Granda. That's the interview where you can hear Becky in the background of the recording saying, "Turn the hang the hell up." Yeah. It was August the 30th when Jerry Falwell Jr. was apparently drunker than Adam's off ox. And again, far be it from me to criticize anybody for drinking. That's not my job and that's not who I am. It ain't about the drinking. It's about the hypocrisy of being the president of a university that will throw a student out for so much as a beer and keep their money. But on the night of August 30th, Jerry Falwell Jr. Was drunker than Adam's off ox and apparently injured. And that's when Becky picked up the phone and dialed 911. And so when she did, well, she said that she'd been at church at 11 o'clock at night. I'm sure she was at church. For the special 11 p.m. service. You know, that's the service where everybody comes to church dressed as someone out of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Becky goes dressed as Dr. Frankenfurter, minus the Frankenfurter. And she got a call from Cucky Jerry, who said, "Goddess, I've done falled down the stairs." "Jerry, are you drinking again?" "Well, not much." And so she hurried home from church and found that all the doors to the house was locked. Time out. Bekai lives at the Falwell Mansion. Why do you reckon she didn't have no house key? Because she said when she arrived, all the doors were locked, and she had to use a chair to break through the back door. She's a strong one, Leather Dom Becky is. Broke through the back door because she didn't have a key. And so, yes, as a matter of fact, absolutely. Steve in New York says, Bekai, was that the Church of Eyes Wide Shut? Yeah, I think it was. It was also the, it was probably a counseling session in which Bekai explained that the reason her husband had to sit in the corner in the gimp suit and watch her have sex with strangers and then be, you know, roughed up a little bit was that some preachers just don't know when to shut up. Mm-hmm. So she broke through the back door, Bekai did. No word as to whether she teetered on into the foyer or there's no foyer to the back door. Teetered through the kitchen on, say, her 6-inch stiletto black leather ballet boots. And found Cucky Jerry, I guess, in a drunken heap at the bottom of the stairs. And so when she called 911 dispatch, they said, ma'am, has your husband been drinking alcohol? And Bekai said,
yes.
And the dispatcher said, well, ma'am, has he been drinking heavily? And that's when Bekai realized that it was time to, well, play it close to the leather vest. She said, I'm not going to answer that question. Well, ma'am, I'm not asking because I'm trying to intrude. I'm trying to provide assistance here and provide the necessary and obtain the necessary information in order for us to be able to render assistance. You see, if somebody's had a couple of drinks, it's one thing. But if they've been drinking heavily, alcohol thins the blood, and that can account for the lots of blood that you're describing here. Unless, of course, you carried a piece of that chair on in through the kitchen and just wailed the hell out of your Cucky Jerry husband. Which, ma'am, please understand, no one's accusing you of anything, but you are married to Jerry Falwell Jr., and the vast majority of human beings on planet Earth would completely understand if you had beaten the hell out of him with that piece of a chair. I mean, he's Jerry Falwell Jr. Don't worry, ma'am. You said, I don't think I'm going to answer that question. Well, ma'am, please, be at ease. There's not a jury in the entire United States of America that would convict you for beating the shit out of Jerry Falwell Jr. Now, I'm making a lot of this up. It's parody, you see. But Bekai was trying to get the dispatcher to understand. She said, the more I tell you the name, the more you're going to understand why we're not talking to you right now. And so the dispatch log says, he won't let her take him to the hospital as he is stubborn. Caller was not forthcoming. Caller hadn't gotten out of her Dom costume yet. You know, from the special 11 p.m. Rocky Horror Picture Show service there at the Falwell U Chapel. So, nonetheless, emergency responders did show up at the mansion. And one of the people who got there noted that Cucky Jerry Jr.'s face had lacerations on it. Who's a bad boy? He had a
cut under his left eye. You know, that's a very soft area of tissue. And sometimes you don't have to have something sharp. Because anybody who's ever watched boxing knows that the rounded, slick surface of a boxing glove can cut you there. And equally so if, say, the talons of a sado part of a sadomasochistic couple, say, lacerates him when she slaps the spit out of him. Yeah. He also had lacerations across the bridge of his nose. And once again, if you imagine the travel of a well-manicured hand across one's drunken husband's face, bridge of the nose either goes right before or right after laceration under the eye. And he also had lacerations above both his right and left eyes. Above. Yeah. Sounds like a backhand to me. The first responder also made a note in the report that Jerry Jr., to the extent he was able to speak English, said, I hit my head on a trash can. How'd you get down where the trash can was there, Jerry? There was blood in the area, he indicated, according to the first responder. And, well, there were empty alcohol containers. This is called incomplete reporting. There's a big difference between there being, say, an empty six-pack of, PBR. Ah, come on, this is Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell's not a big guy. Big beer guy at all. No. If it was beer, I'm sure it'd be some sort of craft brew. But empty alcohol containers is a different story entirely if it's like two or three empty fifths of, say, old Panther piss. Also in the report, the officer says, Jerry had slurred and slowed speech and would repeat things already asked. You, Jerry Falwell? Goddamn right, I'm Jerry Falwell. And I was not drinking. That was black liquid. And my pants are too zipped. Did I tell you it was black liquid and my pants were zipped? So now, speaking of lockdowns earlier, there's a lockdown of a different sort taking place in the Falwell compound because nobody's talking. Beckeye's done talking. Jerry knows better than to talk because, well, and then the lawyer that they pay a shit ton of money to also isn't talking. And the official spokescreep for Falwell U, F-U, is also not responding to inquiries. I walked into a door. Praise Jesus. Yeah. I have a feeling this will engender a bit of conversation. I have no doubt whatsoever. Let's see if things are going a little bit better around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable.
Yes, they are, Bob.
Glory.
I had to do a complete restart on my computer and unplug the cow cam.
Yeah, I saw a little bit from the cow cam. I guess it was eating up bandwidth or something.
No, somebody else started the call.
That'll fuck things up too.
On my end. Anyway, and something went weird with Skype, so it's all good now. I mean, I've had a hell of a day with these computers.
Oh, really? You've been wrestling?
Well, I go, man, I can go to the man cave today. It's smoke isn't bad. It's cool enough and everything. So I come out of the house with a man cave computer, get it all plugged in, because I don't leave it out in the man cave when it's hot. Get it all plugged in and everything. And then I go to Skype, and I open up Skype, and everything comes up and everything, and all of a sudden, then it goes, boom, gone.
Beautiful.
Reload it again, and it does the same damn thing. So then I go in the house. I grab the computer that's in my wife's room, because she doesn't use it anymore, because since she got the smartphone. And so I bring it out here, and I plug it in. It's the newest computer we got. Turn it on, everything, and the screen's all blue.
Oh, no.
So then I had to back into Skype Central Command and disconnect the computer that was in there and bring that out here.
Brutal.
But it is so nice to be back in the man cave again. I don't know if you saw that picture. You saw that picture for what? You could see the foothills?
Yeah, I did.
Well, a couple of days ago, you couldn't even see those foothills. It was so smoky.
Wow.
And it was kind of hot on the hottest side, you know, but it was unhealthy and air quality. And today it's 77, AQI 77.
Yeah, 77 is quite manageable. Downright nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I got a freestanding fan that I bought for my wife, and I brought it out here. I don't know if it makes a noise where you can hear it.
I heard the beep.
It's got a remote control on it. Can you hear the fan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, not so much. There's a whir, but it's the air passing across the your mic.
I barely got it turning now. It's adjustable, too. It's got a speed control on it. Can you hear it now?
No.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. Because it gives me a little bit of airflow.
Yeah, because it's great. Because it's tolerable. It's tolerable, but not
back last night. And there's a whole bunch of new calves out there.
Aww.
Grady was just out there checking them out. He just come back in the shop. He's happy to be outside again, not out in the smoke. So all is good here for now. Oh, and in the book, I'm on like chapter 12, I think.
Oh, of Rage?
Yeah.
What's your take so far?
Oh, it's really interesting. I didn't know we were almost at nuclear war with Korea. Mattis was freaking out. He was going to the National Cathedral all the time, praying, sleeping in his gym shorts. And he's got this, he has this special system set up so he can get contacted at a moment's notice. Because that's back when the ding dong in Korea, Rocket Man was shooting off rockets.
Yeah, Kim Jong bad golf pants.
Yeah, they were all getting all freaked out about it because they launched their first ICBM. But it's interesting. It introduces you to people like Mattis and Tillerson, and how they went to New Jersey to first meet Donald Trump. Neither one of them wanted the job at first. And then, Tillerson's wife talked him into doing it. And then Dan Coats didn't want the job, and his wife talked him into it, talked about his friendship with Pence. But it's getting really interesting.
It seems abundant.
You into the room so you actually feel you're in there listening to what they're saying. I mean, it's so in detail. You just wonder, how the hell do you get all this information?
Well, but he doesn't have recordings with Mattis or Coates or anything, does he?
He might.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
He hasn't said, but he records a lot of people. But he's got all this information from somebody. It's like you're in the room when you're reading the page, and it's like you're in the room where they're doing it, happening stuff like, oh, what's his name's book? In the Room Where It Happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, my wife wanted to read it, and she wanted to read Cohen's book. So we got two Kindles. There's an older Kindle that I have, and she's got a newer Kindle that she reads off of. So I went and ordered both books, and then she started reading Cohen's book, and I started reading Woodward's book. And she's also got Mary Trump's book on the Kindle.
Oh.
So I'll see if I want to get into reading. But Mary Trump was on Lawrence's show last night. It was pretty interesting. He had her on there to do her psychology thing and analyze what Donnie was saying. It's a good episode if you get a chance to see it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let's see Cucky Jerry and Becky saga seems to have gotten some traction. I don't know if he's in the room yet or not, but Stephen New York says, I was trying to think how big the schadenfreude I had for that fucker. I couldn't think of something that would express the size. Then it occurred to me, it's the size of Trump's ego, and I'm not giggling. I'm laughing like a motherfucker.
I woke up to that story this morning on Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, isn't that just a Lulu? Darlene says, Beckeye, does it seem as though Beckeye wears the pants off of in that relationship? Yes. That leaves the question. And, you know, Cucky Jerry wears nothing but his, you know, gimp mask, which, incidentally, Steve points out, Jerry's lacerations came from the hooks on the mask he wears with the gimp suit. And Silent R. Lamar ain't buying it either. He says, okay, Jerry, you fell into the trash can. How many times did you fall into the trash can? You say seven times? Okay, that makes sense. Or as Jesus said, 70 times seven. Brother Deacon Asa couldn't resist either. Come on, Bob. Who are we kidding? That guy was at church doing a mic check on Giancarlo Granda. Sincerely, Brother Deacon Asa. Giancarlo's, that's over now. But, you know, there was also the physical fitness trainer who helped to make her a buff Beckeye. Mm-hmm. And Darlene says, thanks, Steve, but he's not worth the trouble or effort. That was a few years ago, and I'm so happy he's no longer in my life. I did get three honorary stepdaughters out of it, as they loved me the best of everyone he dated after me, and even the woman he eventually married. Kids know best, and I wound up with the best out of that relationship in the end. Very good, Darlene. So,
Hey, Bob?
Yeah.
I think the lesson that I got from that Cucky Jerry story is watch out about having Oscar the Grouch as your drinking partner.
Oh, wait a minute. Very good. Well played, Chris. That's beautiful. Yes, indeed. Oscar the Grouch, trash can. Yeah. The thing is, I wonder what it is about... I wonder what it was about Beckeye going to church that sent Cucky Jerry into an alcoholic binge. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got a problem. If he's got a problem, I ain't laughing. That's nothing to laugh about. The hypocrisy, however, is fucking hilarious.
It certainly is. Hey, Sparky, what's that hanging? What do you got hanging off the scaffolding or whatever that is that Grady was sitting under it?
Are you executing owls? What's going on here, man?
Yeah, it's to scare the birds away, right?
Oh, it's a scarecrow?
Yeah. It's a plastic owl.
Oh.
Looks like he's swinging in the breeze, man.
Yeah, he does.
He never got a chance to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. Poor fucker.
It looks very bucolic up there today, Sparky.
Well, no smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, we still have some. Actually, Ellie wasn't too bad yesterday. I don't know. I think it's okay today. But, yeah, we saw that fire 20 miles east of where I live. That's burning. It is not contained yet. It's in the Angeles National Forest.
Oh, the Bobcat fire?
Yeah, the Bobcat fire. Yeah, yeah. I guess it claimed its first life. I guess a firefighter fighting it went missing and then was found dead yesterday. So,
yeah, I saw that.
First fatality. That's a shame.
And any death is sad and bad. But I'd like to, when I saw that story, Billable, one of the things that came to mind was, Jesus, I hope it wasn't one of the convict laborers.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, well, you know, they...
But Governor
they
Newsom...
Put him back on the line?
Governor Newsom finally did something really, really good in that regard. Did you see where he, I guess by executive order or some such, said that... The felons who fight the fires will now be eligible to become professional firefighters upon release, where before they hadn't been.
That's cool. Well, part of that's necessity, though, too, because we're so short-staffed in firefighters.
Right, and it's not...
We're going to need more every year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a growth industry for anybody out there who wants to be a firefighter. Come to California. Oh, geez.
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
Oregon, too.
Oh, Oregon's even getting hit worse. Your fires are, like, more intense. You know, whereas the air quality here is just unhealthful. Yours is, like, you know, deadly, fatal, you know? Some of the numbers I've seen, like, in 300.
I guess they say hazardous.
Yeah.
Yesterday was 488 here in Eugene, Oregon. And today is 36.
Whoa, 488 down to 36? Yeah. What the hell?
It was always running between 420 and close to 500. And that was for, God, like 10 days.
So you got some onshore floor. What happened, Roger?
Got rain.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Is that going to actually put out the fires or not? The rain?
I'm just searching for that. I was down in Cottage Grove helping the kid build drying frames for his crop that's going to be harvested next week or the week after.
Right.
So I haven't been keeping up with things, but I'll check it out and give you an update on the fire when I find it.
Cool. Yeah, it's like a full-time job trying to check the progress of the fires. It's not easy to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Ugh.
Hey, Roger, have they found out any more information from the guy they caught, Bacala? The guy, the arsonist? Any background on that?
I haven't got any background specifically, but it seems like all the pictures that they've put up of the people they've arrested, they all seem to be white dudes that have a meth addict. But they've got the, you know, the deep set eyes, the sunken face.
Oh, like, Trump
they just
voters.
Look to be meth heads.
The wild hair.
Yeah, Trump voters. Trump voters.
Well, probably.
Burn, baby.
They sure as hell aren't Black Lives Matter folk.
Or Antifa.
Well, I don't know. Anybody can be Antifa. But the thing is that apparently what happened was that somebody was listening to the scanner and they heard that there was a BLM crew someplace. And that was what got that whole, it's the BLM setting all the fires. But you also got to realize that a whole lot of land in Oregon is handled by the Bureau
of Land Management.
Yeah.
And it frequently is simply called BLM. And the area where they were talking, the scanner was talking about where the BLM was in fact BLM land. And they were supposed to be there. They were working on fire control.
But the
so
maggot,
that was how that whole bullshit
but
got
the
started.
Maggot, but the maggot dickheads thought BLM meant Black Lives Matter. And then if it's Black Lives Matter, it must be Antifa.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Antifa, did you guys
that got all pushed out, and then the sheriff down in the Grants Pass area came out with an official bulletin saying, "Cut the bullshit out. It was BLM, Bureau of Land Management." Right. And there's no connection to Antifa. And that bus you saw coming through town was bringing in firefighters, and you guys are just blowing it with the crap you're spreading on social media. Mm.
Well, two deputies of Clackamas County were suspended for spreading those rumors. And unfortunately, a dear friend of mine actually still believes it. And I can't talk her out of it. She's like, "Oh, it's the liberal media that's covering it all up and this and that." I just have to shake my head at her and be like, and she's trying to convince me. And I'm like, no.
Well, I saw that interview that the deputy gave. I watched that. And, it was just passing on totally false information that he got from a friend of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Total horse shit.
That's where she got her information, a friend of a friend. And they do have vigilante armed checkpoints all throughout, scattered around Malala and that whole area.
And yeah, but the people living down in that Grants Pass, Southern Oregon area, I mean, they're the ones that keep putting Art Robinson up for Congress. They're absolutely nuts down there.
Yep. I got away to Astoria for a few days. It was in the 150s, maybe the high one, maybe 180, Roger, from Sunday till Tuesday.
But here in Eugene, it was just disaster. Because we have that, I forget the name of it, it's the McKenzie Fire. That's McKenzie Home or something like that. Let's see, it's the McKenzie Holiday Farm Fire is the name of it. The flames, basically, the front end of the fire line and the level 3 evacuation order basically came right to the outskirts of northeast Springfield. So it's only like 20 miles from I-5 up the McKenzie River. And it just came right down into the Willamette drainage and just hung in here. Terrible, because it did an inversion layer number. And no wind at all to stir it up. And the only thing that saved us was the rain last night, which also had a whole ton of lightning. But it was not dry lightning at all. But, again, I haven't got any real updates. But I'm sure the rain was sufficient to have at least slowed the spread of the fire and undoubtedly put out a few of the little hot spots that get left behind when they're fighting fire.
Mm.
So it's a whole lot better here now, but that doesn't mean that we might get another drying wind and dry everything out again and have another fire. Mm. So who knows? It's all, there's no global warming or anything like that. It'll get cold.
Well, trust me, science may disagree with me, but it's going to get colder, just as Trump said. I mean, what a freaking genius. And, the J is for definitely genius,
Yeah, well, by November, I expect it will get a little colder.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's called weather, not climate, dude,
Yeah.
I noticed how Scientific American endorsed Biden for the first time.
They've never endorsed a presidential candidate before.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I mean, he is such an enemy of science. I mean, just how he's perverted everything. And I mean, even the CDC is no longer trusted because, he's trying to rush through the vaccine and so forth. And,
well, did you see the latest from the CDC?
Most likely, Bob. What were you going to say about that?
Well, the story came through, I think, last night that you remember when the CDC put on its website, testing for COVID is no longer necessary. Remember that?
And we all kind of went, "What?" Exposed to somebody with COVID, you don't have to be tested for COVID anymore. Yeah,
right. And we all kind of went, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the CDC dropped the dime. The CDC did not post that.
Right.
It came straight from the so-called task force through the DHHS, and they put it on the CDC website with no review and not so much as a kiss my ass.
Pencil Neck Geek, one of his minions, threw it on there, Bob?
Most likely.
Oh, yeah. God. Did you see, who was the woman that came out, the whistleblower that came out? What was her name? Olivia something, I think?
Yeah. Oh,
she had a powerful message.
She's got a new ad out today. I just sent a link to Bob.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Republicans Against Trump, I think, is the website or something.
She jumped on that.
Republican Voters Against Trump.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
She's always been a Republican. He said that, yeah.
He calls his audience despicable. What was it? Deplorable?
Let's stay away from that word, huh?
Yeah, despicable is good.
Despicable is fine. To that.
How'd she say it?
I forget their hands.
Exact word.
He didn't want to shake their hands. That's what he said.
They're disgusting people.
Disgusting. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I guess you got to look for a silver lining with COVID. I mean, you don't have to shake hands with people that you want to shake hands with anymore, right? I mean, there's something to be said for that, isn't there?
Yeah, right.
Well, I would agree that maggots are disgusting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm just surprised that it's so that it's still relatively close. Although right now, I think the 538 has Biden ahead like 76% to 24% in terms of chances of winning.
But I thought they had Hillary at 90% way back.
They might have. I don't know if 538. Yes. I'm not sure if 538 did. I think in New York.
I'm not sure either.
They did. They were. Yeah, it was like 93%, I want to say, at one point. I don't remember what point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the other silver linings is it kills people in the blue states.
That's true. That's their silver lining. Yeah, but I mean...
Well, I mean, that was certainly Jared Kushner's take.
Yeah, yeah. Although, pretty much since June, I think it's killed more people in the Midwest and the South than any other regions in the country.
Well, now that it's getting rolling...
Yeah, yeah, and the numbers
that
are
was
up
Sturgis,
again.
Right, Rick?
I mean, I have a lot of time on my hands now to listen to things like National Petroleum Radio, and I caught a story, I guess maybe a couple of days ago, talking about high school boys who are transferring out of their high schools and going to places like Iowegia.
Uh-huh.
So they can play football our senior year.
Yeah, kids from California.
Well, this kid was really? From Kansas City.
Oh, geez.
Well, I've heard about kids from California going to other places.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, nothing good is going to come out of this. And, I mean, the whole Big Ten's about face and deciding to play an 8-game schedule. That's very puzzling,
Well, that's just a plain old-fashioned cave-in, Billable.
Yeah, it's a cave in to Trump, and also it's a cave in to all the money that football brings into these colleges to fund all their other sports, that they offer and other programs of the schools.
The TV revenue must be something.
Oh yeah, the TV revenue is huge.
It's massive.
But I mean, somebody, there was an article the same day that news came out, Bob, you railed against it on your program, how it's a day that'll live in infamy. Somebody in the USA Today wrote a similar article about how it was a huge cave-in and it's a big mistake. And, the Big Ten is going to rue the day that they change their mind. I just wonder if the Pac-12 is going to follow suit or not.
The thing is
I don't think the schools are sufficiently maggoty in the Pac-12. They will follow suit.
Well, with the restrictions in the state of California.
Yeah, right. Right.
You lose three teams right there.
Right.
Yeah. Oregon's probably got restrictions. And Washington's probably got restrictions.
That's another four teams. All you have is the zona teams, basically, then. Arizona.
All I know is they got a pro team's got a waiver to play, but with no spectators.
Fans. Yeah,
The Cleveland Brown game last night against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football, they had 6,000 fans in attendance.
Oh, they did.
All spaced out all over the stadium.
How do you enforce that for an entire game, and how do you make sure that people who are there to get seated together only live in the same household, you know?
I don't know, but they got tarps over the first, you know, like six rows or so.
Mm-hmm.
That are right close to the field, so nobody can get close to the field.
Huh.
And they're all supposed to be wearing masks, and I know they do temperature checks and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the other problems that's come up with the football thing is that I think it was either Pac-10 or 12, I'm not sure which one, said they were going to cancel the season. And so some of the top players already signed with an agent to get ready for the draft and that kind of stuff. And now they started the football program, but any college athlete that signed with an agent is not allowed to play according to NCAA rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're asking for a waiver for those players who had signed with an agent to allow them to play their last college games, but they have to change the NCAA rules to allow them to get back on the team because they already had an agent. So
Right. Who
knows where that's going to go.
Yeah, it's all messed up. I mean, I think the biggest surprise so far to me in the sports world is that, you know, so many of the baseball games have been played. It looks like they're going to be able to finish their 60-game season. The Cubbies are in first place by 5.5 games with only 10 games left, for example. So they're well on their way to finishing the season. You know, I thought for sure COVID was going to, affect all of baseball. And, you know, the Cardinals and the Marlins were the two main teams that had problems. I think the Cardinals in the last 10 days, they've played a total of 14 games because they've had to like play a bunch of doubleheaders to make up for all the postponements due to COVID when they had about, I think, seven players, you know, diagnosed with COVID. But I guess what surprises me also is that no like athlete that we know of anyway has died, like an active athlete, you know, currently playing the game, whether it's basketball or baseball or football. That's not to say that those who got sick aren't going to have long-term effects. You know, it may just be postponed.
Well, all I know is the 49ers are going to be in West Virginia after Sunday's game.
Ah, there you go.
At the Greenbrier.
Well, here's hoping they don't all wind up with the Rona.
Hmm. I'm sure you'll get reports of them being there, Bob.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And probably some crazy people will want to go try and go see them.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt of that whatsoever.
Maybe they'll come looking for Kaepernick, thinking he's still a 49er.
No, not in West Virginia.
No.
Anybody in West Virginia? Anybody who came looking for Colin Kaepernick in West Virginia would be wearing a bed sheet and a hood.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not saying as a fan. I'm saying as a, you know, as a stalker.
Hey, folks.
Thanks,
Chris. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Doing okay, man.
Yeah, are you in a bar or something?
I'm at a restaurant just waiting to get food.
You posted a picture. It looks like you're sitting outside.
Somewhere. Oh, I was. You
got a
I
plastic
was.
Cup in front of you.
Yeah. Well, you see my mask, right?
Yeah, that was good, Steve.
Says, voted for Trump, you're a fucking idiot. But you know what? My issue with the Big Ten and all of sports is less about them playing than it is about the fact that why is it that these sports teams have access to all the best and quickest and finest testing and everything, whereas the public gets thrown to the wind? That's
money.
Priorities. Because I'll be honest with you, I had an about face on the Big Ten. I think I don't have an issue with the Big Ten doing what it did. And Bob's going to throw daggers at me right now. My issue is because I think the Big Ten is basically made up of states that are mostly sane, whereas the SEC, they're all maggot states. And, you know, like think about LSU, where the coach down there said, I think he said more than half of them have it or had it.
Well, but if we're, but the good thing is at least they won't have to be tested anymore now.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
my worry is about the ACC and the SEC, because those are all the maggot states that even if they get it, they're not going to care.
No, they won't.
Yeah, but the people who are behind it in the Big Ten states, Bob said, throwing daggers, aren't, they may be nominally sane states overall, but the people driving the bus are maggot crazy, Steve.
Like who?
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
Well, no, because the people clamoring for it are fucking maggots.
I don't agree. I think it was mostly parents.
There's a guy called General Bob or something like that. He used to be an Ohio State player.
You know that I'm such a sycophant, Bob, that I agree with you with everything. But on this case, I'm gonna disagree. I think it was mostly the parents.
Well, I mean, there was a lawsuit filed.
Yeah, fuck the lawsuit. That wasn't going anywhere.
But don't you think a lot of those parents are maggots? Excuse me.
No, I don't think the parents are maggots. Okay. But I think the parents are the ones who were saying, these kids. I don't, you know.
It's their future income, and their future this and future that.
I think to a large extent, particularly if everyone shut down, if everyone canceled, that's one thing. But a lot of those Big Ten schools, particularly Ohio State was a holdout even from the beginning. There are kids there who want that opportunity. Like Sean Wade was going to go to the draft, and he's actually coming back. But the only sports, and like Rick said earlier, I was surprised. I thought baseball would have shut down after 2 or 3 weeks. I really did.
Yeah, I mean, at the very beginning of the season, about a third of the games overall for the entire league were postponed due to COVID.
Well, hell, you know? Rick. I mean,
that was what they were averaging at first.
Remember the Marlins, like, canceled for an entire week.
Yeah, the Cardinals canceled about a week or two as well. They, at one point in time, the Cubs had, let's say, played 35 games. The Cardinals had played only maybe 15 or something like that.
Right. And I think the Phillies had a big issue too.
Yeah, and there was some talk about if the Cardinals couldn't play a full slate, if you know how it would be determined whether or not they would make the playoffs, you'd look at the percentage, their percentage record, instead of just the one loss necessarily,
in the standing. The only two sports who have done it completely right were hockey and basketball.
And basketball
doesn't matter anyway, so basketball is not really a sport, so.
Oh, yeah, right. ask Michael Jordan about that. Tell Michael Jordan that, Steve.
There's only two sports. Well, there's one and a half. Baseball's not a sport. Football's not a sport. I mean, I like to watch them, but they're not sports.
Okay, you're going to say golf is a sport then, right?
No. The only sport is hockey is a sport. The other half of a sport is rugby.
Oh, well. Okay, well. I'd say about 95% of Americans would disagree with you, but that's okay, Steve.
Well, and at one time, 95% of the world thought the Earth was flat. That didn't make it right.
Yeah, well, And a lot of Trump voters still think it's flat.
Now, hold the hell on. Are you telling me soccer's not a sport?
No.
No, you're not
What's
telling
your
me that. No,
you're not.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Wait a minute. No, you're not telling me that, or no, it's not a sport.
It's not a sport.
Now, standards. Defend your thesis.
The only sport is it's got to be something where you can get severely injured in the normal course of the sport. Your injury doesn't come from like some sort of freak thing like baseball. You don't get injured in baseball. You know, if somebody hits you, you get hurt. But it's not a normal part of the sport. And football doesn't qualify because most of the time, most of the 3 hours of a football game are walking to and from the huddle, going in and out of to and from the bench. So that just doesn't count. And I also remember I watched a 60 Minutes show back in the 80s where they actually took a stopwatch to the actual action in a football game, and in the 3 hour game amounted to 12 minutes. So that's clearly not a sport.
But a pitcher can become severely injured merely throwing the ball.
True, but that's a freak. It's not. Whereas
no, hockey, no, it's not, because the human anatomy. Human, for instance, fast pitch softball pitcher. Mm-hmm. She almost never blows out her pitching arm because it is a normal and natural motion of the brachiating human shoulder. A baseball pitcher's motion is not a freak accident. It's what happens when you abuse an arm like that over a period of years.
Yeah, but you could do that without playing baseball. I'll give you an example. In hockey, you know, you shoot a little rubber puck at a person at 100 plus miles an hour, and it hits that person in a certain area. In the normal course of the sport, they could get severely injured. Or you touch somebody really hard and they get severely injured. That's just part of it.
Why is injury so important to whether something is a sport, Steve?
Otherwise, it's a wimpy thing. It might be a skill. It might be a game. It might be any one of those things, but it's not a sport. That's why golf is a skill, not a sport.
Steve, is gymnastics a sport? What about carrying shrugs?
No.
No?
No, of course not.
Wait, what?
It's a skill. It's not a sport. Come on.
Hey, do you guys know what curling is?
I was going to mention curling, yes.
It's housework, actually. I would qualify that as housework.
Ironing on the ice.
Well, I guess if you were in charge of the Olympics, Steve, it would be a very sparse field of competition.
Spartan, even.
Yes, exactly.
But wait a second. They're games. Don't they call it the Olympic Games? They don't call
it
the Olympic Games.
Well, that's true. But they have different sports.
All right. Touche.
Touche. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I hope you guys have finally realized that I'm never wrong. Just ask me, I'll tell you.
No, we sorted that one out a while back, Steve. Hey, let me just jump in here. We are into the third hour. We're beginning the third hour of the program. We've knocked out $70 out of Chris's $200 challenge, matching challenge. That means there's 130 left of that. And after that, there are 200 more dollars in challenges that are good for this evening. So... we started the program 690 in the hole. Will in Chicago took us down to 690. And there are massive bills waiting to be paid, as there always are in trying to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks. So with an hour remaining in the program, and that many challenges on the table, it would be wonderful to not have those things go by the board, and not because if they do go by the board, then come Moran Monday, we're going to have one of the largest deficits we've had on a Monday in eons. So, again, 130 to go on Chris's challenge. And then 50 to go on Rico's help out the amateur Uber driver challenge. And $50 on Joey and Giraffe's put Bill Barr behind bars challenge. And $100 to go on the anonymous when billionaires choose you lose challenge.
Hey, Bob, put me down for 15.
Okie doke. Thank you. That takes us down to 115 on Chris's challenge, and we're making progress. Thank you, Chris. So, you know, that's a whole bunch to knock down in an hour's time, but it can be done. And that would be a pretty huge Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. And Steve, meanwhile, has lit up the community. Darlene in Connecticut. What about all the ACL injuries female basketball players are suffering, particularly at the college level? After a while, it gets well past freak accidents. Flavio, soccer's not a sport. People have died on the pitch from spinal cord injuries, severe concussions from players colliding. There's no padding in soccer. What the fuck? Meanwhile, Lee in New York notes, curling is a good floor cleaning ruined. Paraphrasing Mark Twain on golf.
That's cowbell worthy, Bob.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Billable. Tangentially, Ron in Raleigh says, I take it that you heard Tommy Tuberville explain his deep abiding knowledge of the Voting Rights Act. What the fuck is Steve talking about? Is he just being a contrarian to stir the pot? P.S. I used to argue with a young lady that cheerleading was not a sport. I note from the verb tense that maybe Ron got over that because it most decidedly is. Because there's a shit ton. That's a complicated sports medicine term of physical exertion involved. See, I don't accept Steve's standard that you have to be able to get there has to be a potential for maiming for something to be a sport.
I guess by that standard, being a gladiator would be a sport here. I guess that would be a sport.
Oh, gladiator, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you.
Jousting.
There you go.
You don't get, yeah. And yeah, it was. Jousting was the sport that just about devastated the entirety of the European nobility. Because and after a while it had to be reined in because A, it was ruinously expensive, and B, all of the king's best kniggets were winding up getting the shit knocked out of them. And thank you very kindly to Ralps. Thanks a ton, Ralps. That takes us down to under 100 on Chris's challenge. That means we got $90 left there. Thank you, Andy the Angry Jew. Jumped in. That's 65 to go on Chris's challenge. And thank you very kindly, Chris. And you've been calculated in. So we got $65 to go on Chris's challenge and then $200 more in challenges waiting. And maybe, I hope we can have a community-made miracle. Jeremy says, oh, thanks, Steve. WWE is finally a sport based on your definition. Damn sure is. I mean, just because the outcome is predetermined, doesn't mean there isn't a sporting prowess.
But again, injury is.
What about Ultimate Fighting? What about Ultimate Fighting, Steve, in a cage? Cage fighting.
No.
That a sport?
No. See,
I declare it not to be.
Yeah, he declares. Right. Exactly. And hey, happy birthday, Andy the Angry Jew says, in honor of me, I turn 65 this Sunday. Thanks for all you do. Thank you, Andy, for helping out, and thanks for being a part of this community over so many years. Thank you. Notes coming in.
A lot of noise.
Yeah, that's a lot of noise. Sport, Dave number 11 says, golf ball to the head. Yes. And Jimmy notes, in short, a sport is physical exertion and skill for entertainment.
So So, Steve, what about presidential ramp walking? I guess by your definition, that's a sport.
Oh, wait.
I guess if Trump is the president.
That was well played.
Oh, that was... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was really good. That was excellent.
Oh, and just since we're into the third hour, and because I don't want this to take over the program, because I'm an humble and occasionally genial host who is managing to get through all this without lighting a cigarette. Jesus, there's some stuff out there. Let's go to the land of Lincoln, Illinois. Well, the mask holes, the COVIDiots, the maggots, you know, the plague rats, the bioterrorists, they had themselves a rally at Crystal Lake. And the rally was all about, we gotta send our children back to school in the middle of a pandemic. Steve Smith, co-organizer of the rally, said, the main focus today is getting the kids back in school and putting the kids in the best position they can be in. As parents, we don't want this to be political, and maybe we should make that a little more clear. The reason Steve-O said that is because during the rally, somebody ran the devil's diaper, otherwise known as the Confederate battle flag, the terrorism flag, up the flagpole, and then the Illinoisians in attendance, the mask holes, the COVIDiots, the maggots, almost exclusively white folks, in Illinois, which fought on the Union side and sent God knows how many to their graves, saving this nation, the Illinoisians just clapped and cheered, "Woo, Confederate flag! Freedom!" God damn it.
Bob, what's that line from Blues Brothers?
We're on a mission from God?
No, I hate Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Oh, that, yeah, okay, that one too.
Yeah. Well, the thing about, you know, the thing about the Nazis is they're all pervasive. Like in the little town of Libertyville, right up almost up to the Wisconsin border in Illinois. You know, they have significant Klan activity there, for example. You know,
so oh hell like, yeah.
You know, it's like a virus. It's like the COVID. I mean, as far as Nazis, it just spreads, you know, throughout the land, unfortunately. And with an administration like that run by, you know, Bill Barr of the Injustice Department, you know, it just festers and it's allowed to grow. It's actually encouraged, for that matter.
Sure.
Yeah, because they're all going to vote Republican, Rick.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we've, you know, these last 4 years, it's we've regressed like 50 or 60 years from a, you know, socio-political standpoint, I think, you know?
I would agree with that. And you know what? Those folks are going to crawl on glass on their stomach and their backs to vote. It's like yeah. You say we are, you know they are.
Well,
they don't give a shit about the COVID because it doesn't exist. So they'll be at the polls.
Oh, they'll be at the polls, and I'm going to vote. I'll probably drop my ballot in, you know, one of the sites on election day rather than mail.
I'm thinking of driving to Salem, and dropping it off there.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously,
you have to go to the state capitol for that, huh?
Yeah,
you can't just do that locally, huh?
Well, you can, but is it going to get from? That's A to B, but is it going to get to B to C?
Oh, I think if you drop it off at a polling place, I mean, you can be reasonably confident your vote will be counted. Of course, we're talking about, you know,
reasonably.
I mean, California and Oregon are definitely going to go for Biden by big margins. So, you know,
California and Oregon have slightly different systems. I do know that in California, if I were still living in McKinleyville, I could drop my ballot off at any polling place within the county. I'm not sure if I dropped it off down in Orange County that it would be an appropriate drop-off. But here in Oregon, they have collection boxes scattered all over the place. And when I get my ballot, I think it's October 14th, they're getting mailed out. I'm going to fill it out that exact day and take it up by the Safeway store out in front of the Rite Aid store down the block a little bit in the shopping center is a Lane County ballot collection box. And I'm going to dump it in there because the poll type folk, the elections office, come around and clean that box out at least once a day and take it down to City Hall kind of thing and start counting ballots.
Hey, Roger, do you see the maggots fucking with those boxes? Could they?
I haven't.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that, maybe.
No, I think when Chris said, do you see, Roger, he meant, can you foresee?
Can I envision it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, first of all, it seems to me the slot to put the ballot in is pretty small. And so it's hard to get much in there. I do know some letter carriers on the blue boxes all tell stories about opening it up and finding melted ice cream cones and all kinds of other crap because the drop-in, the old pull down the door, put the mail in, and then you close the door, was capable of small packages. And so you could get rid of an ice cream cone or a bottle of soda or something of that sort. But the ballot boxes, as I recall, just have a thin little envelope slot. And that would be really hard. I mean, I guess you could create
a firecracker in it.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. But hey, Chris, here in Eugene, I wasn't really worried about the maggots doing that.
Chris, stop giving the maggots ideas here. Don't smarten up.
Because they're listening in, aren't they? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they're listening in. Hey, folks.
Hi, F you.
Oh, geez.
Getting back to something that a long time ago on today's program, I was in the car and listening. On the tomatoes, I came across something the other day that the aristocracy was using pewter plates, which is heavy in lead. Mm. And the acid of the tomatoes was leaching the lead out of the plates and could end up making you sick relatively quickly because of the amount of lead that got leached out for part of the reason that tomatoes were considered poisonous. Mm. I can't guarantee the story, but that's what I've come across.
It makes some sense.
Sounds plausible. So I got a story to contribute here. Did anybody following the story about the Massachusetts parent whose kid was tested positive for COVID like last Friday, and they had they sent him to school on Monday instead of keeping him at home.
I didn't hear about that, Rick.
Oh, I can't believe it. He infected, I guess, 30 high schoolers at this school are now in quarantine because of this asshole's parents letting the kid go to school. And the parents' defense is, we contacted our doctor. We kept our son isolated for a few days, and our doctor told us it was okay to send him to school. I mean, I don't believe that for a second, unless the parent's doctor is the same guy who's now advising Trump on the coronavirus. I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, the radiologist.
Yeah, he's a quack. Basically, but I mean, if some of those kids get sick who were exposed to this this sick child, sounds to me like that's a basis for a reckless homicide charge or something like that.
And you mentioned earlier the first firefighter death out in California.
Oh yeah.
One thing we neglected to note is that that firefighter died fighting the fire that was started by the fucking assholes who had to do a gender reveal. So it's on
surprise, them. It's a girl.
Oh, I thought that was the I thought it was the Bobcat fire where the
that's according to the report
died, not the Eldorado fire, which is the gender reveal fire.
The gender reveal. No, they blamed it on the gender reveal fire.
On the Bobcat? Yeah. The Bobcat was gender reveal? No. Okay.
I don't know.
I thought the gender reveal was the one in Orange County and or Riverside. I don't know. San Bernardino, Riverside.
CNN is reporting a firefighter has died in the California wildfire sparked by a gender reveal party.
Okay, there you go. So that was surprise. The Eldorado fire then. Okay, you're right, Bob.
Okay, and I got to send out thanks because we're in the downhill run part of this. We are down to $15 to go on Chris's challenge. After that, there's $200 more in challenges, matching challenges available, courtesy of Rico and Berg, Joey and Giraffe, and our anonymous friend with the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you to Mary Bell, and thank you very kindly to George. That takes us down to $15 to go on Chris and Germany's challenge. Thank you so very much. And we got about 45 minutes to go.
That's
about
plenty of time.
Yeah,
that's
go
plenty
about
of time for somebody to get in there and do that 15 and knock out the rest of it if they can. Get Bob started on a fresh week next week. Hell, weekend's coming up.
And you know what? Yeah, and
hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
Hey, John. And let me just note, Flavio just wiped out the rest of Chris's challenge.
Outstanding, Flavio.
And got us halfway on Rico and DeBerg's challenge. So thank you, Flavio. That's tremendous.
It's by your help that his voice keeps going.
Precisely. John Bredevo, how in the world are you, my friend?
Buddy, we're trying to hang in there every freaking day down here.
Here in the last month or so, and I know you have some sympathy with this, they tagged me in the chat room as Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver.
Ooh, amateur Uber driver. How much you getting? Making any money off that?
Well, Bob? No, that's where the amateur Uber part driver comes in.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I'm sure Steve in New York would declare that it's not a sport.
Not a sport,
but I know
some of them think it is.
I know you've had to do some schlepping, so you understand what I'm saying.
We've had a rough time down here in the last several weeks, Bob. I don't know if you heard about our incident with our neighbors.
Yeah, I did, like that. And that's creepy as shit, yeah. John.
It's worse than creepy. It's outright fucking terrorism.
Yeah, it is.
Down here trying to terrorize a fucking donkey.
What kind of sick fuck does that?
The sick fucks that live down the street from me, you know.
Yeah, and
$600 worth of security cameras later, they quit. It be well known there ain't a freaking piece of this property that's not covered by security cameras.
Before you let it be known, did you put them up so that maybe you could get a pretty picture of them?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact,
oh no.
Robot John.
Sounds like Mr. Roboto.
Hey John, you might want to reconnect. You sound like a robot.
Yeah, John, try reconnecting. I want to hear this.
I think that security camera like intervened and decided to like mess up the sound there. It didn't want John to tell the truth.
That was the Norblappians.
There you go, the Norblappians.
I think it may very well have been the Norblappians. Oh, and by the way, Chris, for that that comment earlier about competitive ramp walking, Darlene in Connecticut said, "Jesus, Chris, that was mint." Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a big story on Blue Dot. I haven't been able to join Blue Dot the last couple of Sundays just because family stuff and I'm getting ready to move. Maybe, well, the closing date is going to be changed. Oh, God, don't get me started on that. Anyway, so I've been really busy. I haven't been able to join the Blue Dot family on Sundays, but that was the big story. And, yeah, I guess John has known these kids his whole life. You know, he's grown up. Well, he's watched them grow up, and now they, unfortunately,
Travis
it seems like
Travis knows him.
Oh, Travis knows him, Sparky?
Yeah, about the same age.
Fuck, man. And they grew up to be maggots. Mama, don't let your boys grow
Mamas,
up to be maggots.
Don't let your babies grow up to be maggots. Yeah, John's still having trouble, it sounds like.
It's really awful.
Well, you know, the thing about maggots is they reproduce very quickly. If you ever noticed in your garbage, you know, maggots and, you know, it's just they just pop up like, you know, kind of like mushrooms after a rain, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Nasty lot, you know.
Okay. How did America get like this? I guess we've always been like this. This is the soft underbelly that used to be hidden from us.
We have always been. We've always been this. We just preferred to assuage ourselves with the fiction that that because some of us were getting better, that meant the rest of us were too.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, as Chief Justice Roberts said, I mean, racism is over, right? We don't need no stinking Voting Rights Act or anything like that.
Yeah, fuck you, balls and strikes.
We've elected a black president after all. Not just once, but twice, right?
Yeah, Bob? We're post-racial America, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I guess from that standpoint, it is post-racial in that the Klan's members no longer feel like they got to cover up. You know, they can just, you know, walk in broad daylight and, you know, be photographed, their faces, you know.
They walked right into the White House.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, John, you're back.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I guess my system just dumped me. I was sitting here telling
You do a great impression of a robot, John.
Don't tell me that. Holy shit.
Mr. Roboto took over your stream, John.
Oh, man. The other day on one of my videos, I started out on my Friday rant. No, wait, today's Friday. Thursday, whatever, Wednesday, whatever, last lady, Wednesday. And went down to the shop, started my rant, got about 2 minutes into it, and the voice goes to wah, 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 and it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher or something. And are y'all there?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay. Just scaring me now. And then I went silent. So for about 14 minutes, you see a video of me just screaming my lungs out. It was a very passionate rant. Really had a lot to say, and it really looked real comical because you could not hear a freaking word I was saying. The video went out, but the audio didn't. So,
yeah, it's lovely when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it? It takes the winds right out of your sail. I had to recoup, move the equipment back upstairs into the studio here.
Well, so John, getting back to what you've been through. Since you know exactly who was tormenting Jenny, is animal abuse a crime in Texas?
It is if it happens on my fucking property. I don't give a shit what the law says. This got carried away. This got bad, Bob. And we have videos of this guy cruising in front of the house back and forth. I live on a dead-end street. I'm the only one down here. You're cruising back and forth in front of my house at 2, 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. What are you doing? You know, that's spooky shit. So, yeah, we've got video of them just cruising by. And here lately, I'm getting more and more what we used to call tourists or lookers, you know, just people that came down the river road to go look at the river. And, oh, look at here. It dead ends. We got to turn around. Getting a lot more of that. So, yeah, I'm concerned.
You damn well should be.
I am. And the closer we get to Election Day, the more he runs his mouth. The more I am concerned.
To haul out an important $10 word, you are a victim of Donald Trump.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is you are a victim of Donald Trump's stochastic terrorism.
Yep.
Stochastic terrorism is the use of media to cause others to engage in terroristic acts, and that's exactly what's happened to you, John.
Well, up and down the street now, we have I don't know, 4 or 5 houses that have gone carried away here lately with the Trump signs. And, you know, like I say, nobody else on the street puts up a sign. Never have over the 15, 16 years I've lived out here. Now, and I say these signs are not directed for the support of Trump. Oh, no, this is personal. This is the guy down the street.
Oh, no. Boy, if I didn't, if I didn't know better, I'd swear John had Frontier.
I have to bring out the mute saber.
Damn it, Dennis Young. Yeah.
That's a shame.
Sorry about that, John.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, maybe he'll reconnect. I'd like that. And I have good news. We continue to knock things out. Thank you very kindly to Henry. Henry finished off Rico's challenge and got us. Got us about. Wait a second. Where was I? Yeah, and got us halfway into Joey and Giraffe's challenge. And then I'm trying to keep all of this in order. Thank you very kindly to Henry. So Rico's challenge has been cleared by Henry. And then our buddy Steve there has declared that, among other things, keeping the horn going is a sport, and notes that in honor of Pete Rose's hit to break Ty Cobb's record, 41-92, thank you, Steve, that finishes off Joey and Giraffe's and starts on the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. And let's see here. Mighty Mouse jumped in, and then Libby jumped in, and lo and behold, here we are at the just about the 30 minutes left in the program mark, and Clarence just jumped in, and what we have here is another Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle.
And nicely done, ladies and gentlemen.
And thank you all so very kindly. And Randy and PA just had a good idea. John, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but try the stress line. Just use, it's a regular phone call, and it's toll-free, 844-843-4676. And if maybe if somebody could put that in the chat, maybe John will see it. That's a great idea. Thank you to Randy and PA for that. So all the challenges got met, and we have finished fundraising for this week, and that means we go into next week with no hole to dig out of. Thank you all so very much, especially in this stressful, unnecessarily stressful, but it's just the life I have to deal with, that Agnes and I have to deal with. Situation. I don't know when Ferg's going to get off the goddamn 4-12, and you ever been in a situation where something really pisses you off and there's absolutely not a goddamn thing you can do about it? Because that's kind of where Agnes and I are. His relief never shows up on time. They leave him flapping in the breeze. They hang him out to dry. They ask him to do 15-hour shifts, 16-hour shifts. And, you know, I'm not jumping up on the cross or anything, but I'm sitting there in the parking lot waiting for him for an hour and a half when I go to pick him up at midnight. And it's really, really frustrating. And I want to be clear that I'm not just complaining to be complaining. I had a note from our buddy Arnold in PA. Arnold says, as a non-driver, I say to you in friendly fashion, try not to put too much emphasis on driving your kid around as a negative. I know that it's much different than being blind or having a disability when you lose your privilege to drive, but the inconvenience on the rest of your friends and family is immense. Regardless of the reason, personal freedom driving for utility is one of the only things sighted people have over blind people in rural America. We can all appreciate the nature and the solitude, but personal freedom we do not have. So try not to begrudge your kids some rides. Sorry to be a dick, but if I could drive, I would have lived an even more intense but seriously more profitable life. And I understand all of that. And if this wasn't an abusive job with a shitty corporation that didn't give a good goddamn about him, I'd feel a little bit better. But I guess, well, as of tomorrow, we're still on the goddamn 4-12. And as my father said so many years ago, it's a living hell. because you can't get any kind of a schedule organized. You can't get, you cannot get, you can get used to the 8 to 4, you can get used to the midnight shift. You cannot get used to the 4 to 12. And we've been on it for 2 weeks now. And it's making a mess of me. And I was raised by a union man. And my father would be having a conniption over this. But they told him, well, you know, you're getting more hours than anybody else. And he told me that last night. I said, son, you don't understand, do you? And he said, what? And I said, yeah, you're getting more hours because you're the low man on the totem, low man on the totem pole. No. Bad. You're the low man on the wage structure. So they can work you those long hours at a lower rate of pay and they make money off of it. Because that's how that works.
Bob, you know what had in my union days, if I ever had to work the swing shift, what? It was called out of hours work or something like that. We'd work 7 hours and get paid for 8 was in our agreement. So that made it a little bit more worth it.
Well, yeah, but in this case, he's just making the same crummy hourly wage, and you know, I, like I said, I added it up, and we've hung 2,500 plus miles on the vehicle for a $9 an hour job.
What's the cost per mile of driving that, those 2,500 miles, Bob? Probably much less than your son's getting in pay.
Well, no, much more. I mean, the federal mileage, if we were using the IRS mileage rate,
you'd be making more than your son has made, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, at 2,500 miles, it would be $1,250.
Yeah.
And so trying to be, you know, just trying to be decent to him, I just told him $20 a day because that covers, that covers the gas and a tiny little micro-minute amount of the wear and tear, you know, because wear and tear is tires, oil changes, everything.
Yeah.
You know, a reduction in, you know, reduction in value of the capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
Like a car's an investment. But all of that, and I can't get through.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if he's, you know, because I'm doing 120 miles a day.
Wow.
Yesterday, because there were 3 round trips, it was 180 miles.
Jeez.
And so tomorrow, which should be, and you know, we've talked about this on the program, Billable. I love doing this program. I love getting behind the microphone, but with what we've been dealing. Oh no. Fuck no. 2020. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dead.
Oh my God.
No. Oh no.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Oh Bob. Oh, family. Oh,
oh
no.
Man. We are fucked. Even if Biden wins, we're fucked.
Oh, Jesus. Donald Trump just stuck his hands down his pants and started playing with his tiny little mushroom dick.
Every Republican is now.
Fuck!
Ugh.
Oh, God. Jeez. That's the worst news of the year.
Yeah.
That blows everything else out of the water. That's the worst year.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just one. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez. Mitch is going to get his. Is going to get the nomination.
No. No. God damn it. No.
He's going to try.
Oh, I know. I know he's going to try. But but if there is one fucking molecule of honor and patriotism in the being that is Chuck Schumer, then he tells the entire Democratic caucus, we fucking walk. If you're going to engage in this, you're going to do it without us, and the whole world's going to see it, but that doesn't matter to fucking Mitch McConnell. God damn it.
Oh, jeez.
Damn it.
I was afraid of that happening. I mean, she's been very fragile for years, you know? And a lot of people thought she should have step down, you know, maybe after Obama got reelected, you know.
Quick search here. Apparently it was complications of the metastatic pancreatic cancer, and she died at her family home and apparently surrounded by family.
God, she was a fighter. Was a fighter.
God damn. Hey, I'm going to, Agnes may have, I don't often yell as loudly as I just yell the fuck. I need to go and tell her what happened so she won't be freaked out. Stan, I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, man.
Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God.
Well.
There's no way to stop them. I mean, how do you stop them except for just walk out? I mean, protest, but they
well,
can't
you gotta
stop
have,
them.
You got to have some Republicans. Vote against the pick. Yeah, good luck.
Susan Collins,
noted moderate.
We're gonna put all of our eggs in Susan Collins' basket again, Rick. Yeah, okay, come on.
Yeah, I don't think we can rely on her. You know.
Well, then there's only one. There's only one other recourse. We have got to turn out. We liberal Democrats vote like crazy, stock the Congress, Senate, and House both, and impeach the ones who shouldn't fucking be there for lying to get in the first place. I'm talking Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Impeach them. Throw them the fuck out and put two of ours in. That's what. Oh, that's the only thing.
You need two-thirds majority. The much easier way of doing that is just to expand the size of the Supreme Court to, let's say, 15.
Or that.
Just add four. Get, you know, dilute the influence of the maggots. That's the only way to do it.
There's more than one way to skin the cat, but they got to do that. And the only way that's going to happen is if we throw the rest of those pieces of shit out.
Jeez.
It's not just about getting Trump away. It's just about getting the rest of that crap show out.
Yeah.
Shithole.
Oh, man. We are so fucked.
See, now this is going to empower the pro-life.
Where is Scott when you need him, you know? Bob, we're all screwed.
Yeah, where is Scott?
Oh, we don't need him just to say that.
Oh, I know. I'm joking, Sparky.
Oh, what a disaster. Oh. This is the worst thing that's happened in 2020. And there's a lot of bad shit that's happened in 2020, but this is the worst.
Well, from a long-term perspective.
You ain't seen worse yet.
Yeah, wait till.
Oh, Iran.
Wait for the October surprise.
Bombing Iran.
Oh, it's gonna be an announcement of a vaccine that is, of course,
yeah, they're sending more troops to Syria.
Oh, so here's what 27 years of marriage will get you. I walked in and told, you may have heard me yell fuck at the top of my lungs. I didn't say what I yelled. I said, you may have heard me yell at the top of my lungs. She said, no, she isn't watching TV. She said, why? I said, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dead. And Agnes replied, fuck!
Jeez. Oh, man.
We live in our own. We live in each other's brains.
Bob, while you were gone, I was trying to summon Scott and say, we need him, you know, to say we're all screwed, Bob.
We're all screwed, Bob.
Oh, jeez.
Schumer needs to grow a pair, and he needs to get everybody together to, like you said, do a walkout.
Well, you know, the problem is there's only 47 Democrats. All they need is 50 to get a nomination through.
Well, I know, but there's going to have to be some symbolic.
I know, but symbolic, you know. What we need to do is we need to have Joe out there saying, look, you know, I'm going to advocate for expanding the Supreme Court if I win this.
No. Don't pull the trigger before. No. Don't do it now. No, because that might scare some of your independence away. I wouldn't do that. I would wait. I don't think you want to pull on that trigger now.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Chris.
Flavio just wrote in and said, I just checked all the news aggregators and I don't see it. You didn't cite your source.
I just saw it.
Flavio, it's real.
I posted a link in the regular chat room.
Rolling Stone just came through.
Rolling Stone, NPR, Associated Press.
Yeah, here we go.
New York Times.
Yeah, I'll put this link on the
motherfucker
here on the website here on the.
Well, I believe everybody, so I don't need to see.
No, it's
the link.
True. Unfortunately, there's the link here.
And of all days to die, she dies on Jewish New Year. What the fuck?
Oh, jeez.
Wow, Joe.
Well,
yeah.
Hi, Joe. Jake Tapper is the source I had.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, you guys. I'll tell you, this is fucked. This is really...
No kidding.
This is the worst news of 2020. It's been a lot of bad shit, starting with Kobe. And it's all been down.
Yeah, it did start with Kobe. He missed God all this COVID shit.
Damn. Mm.
Jeez.
Well, at least now we get to speculate on which fucking fascist maniac the fucking fascist maniac will choose.
Probably the second. Probably the Seventh Circuit wackadoodle. Probably the Seventh Circuit wackadoodle that was being talked about last time. The female judge.
Yeah, that one.
Except he needs him so bad right now. He could fucking put Billy Barr up there.
I'm thinking Bill Barr. I think that's the deal they made.
Payback.
No. Too old.
I know.
Too old. Good point.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't stop Trump from promising it to him. And then Trump will say, well, you know, I got to give it to the crazy bitch, you know?
Naomi Rao.
Or Tom Cotton.
No. He's put two guys on. He'll have to put at this point, he's got to put a crazy woman on.
Uh-huh. Crazy bitch.
That's
either Rao. It's, you're right, Bob. It's either Rao or the Seventh Circuit judge. You know,
I understand Michelle Bachmann's looking for work.
Hey, wait. The goddess of irony touched me. Supreme Court Justice Becky Falwell.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there's no requirement that one be a judge or even a lawyer to serve on the Supreme Court.
No.
Precisely, and she can wear her black dom gear under her black robe.
Bush tried to nominate his cleaning lady, remember?
Oh, you've been on it this evening, Chris.
No, I don't remember.
What was her name?
Well, close enough. I mean, Heather or Heidi or something, you know.
Oh, Mayor or whatever her name was.
Yeah, Meyer, yeah.
Meyer. Cleaning lady.
Harriet Myers.
In a statement dictated to her granddaughter Clara Spera days before her death, Justice Ginsburg said, "My most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed."
Not going to happen. Sorry,
folks. I have some breaking news. I don't know if you saw it.
We did.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Now, yes, notorious RBG.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little late to the party on that one, Steve.
Okay, it's not a sport. That's why I didn't know.
Hmm.
When did it happen? I just actually was listening to the Reds game, and then I saw it.
In very 15 very
minutes ago, maybe. Yeah.
But they knew it was coming because, like I said, she dictated a statement days ago to her niece and said, "It is my most fervent hope and wish that I not be replaced until a new president is inaugurated."
Well, you know what happens with hope in one hand and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what, though?
They'll throw out the McConnell rule from the last time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you already said that. And they'll be, yeah, McConnell's already said, "Yo, fuck that. That only applies to 3/5 of a president."
Yeah, right.
I was just going to say, that only applies with a melanin-enhanced president. But you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to raise a beer to RBG because she was quite the badass.
Yeah.
And held on as much as she
could. Everybody toast.
All right. Yes, I'll lift my mineral water here.
Yes.
I'm still working.
RBG. I mean, she was, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people? You're hard pressed to ever find anybody who beat pancreatic cancer once, let alone three times.
Hmm. Although that's what got her in the end, I think, Steve.
Yeah, it metastasized.
Yeah. Probably to her liver and who knows where else.
If this isn't something else that motivates people to vote for Joe Biden, then I hope people don't vote for him all die.
It's going to drive the Trumpanzees to vote as well because they want to have, you know, they want to protect the precious fetus.
Uh-huh. Well, I just got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, tears. I've never cried over a Supreme Court justice passing until today. My sister passed of pancreatic cancer, and it is a brutal and painful death. I have no more words. Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
If it means anything to anybody, the guy who's predicted the last 8 presidents and not failed on one has predicted Biden. He also predicted that Trump would be impeached halfway through his presidency.
Yeah, and I predicted that the sun would come up tomorrow. I'm sorry, I looked at that guy. It's a much ado about nothing.
Oh, you're talking about Alan Lichtman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Alan. He's a good guy and a brilliant guy, but we have to start thinking about alternatives. Someone just said, if this isn't enough to make you vote for Joe Biden, I don't know what is. Well, let me add to that. If this isn't enough to make you give the Democrats a strong majority in the Senate and the House, I don't know what is, because come January 2021, there are going to have to be remedies. We're probably not going to, it's almost impossible to have 67 Democratic votes in the Senate. But we've got to have a Democratic majority. And the one thing that the Congress can do is prescribe the size of the Supreme Court.
Yep. Are the Democrats going to be bold enough to do that, though, Bob, is the question.
Right. And so, you know, you add 4 seats to it, run it up to 13, put 4 justices on the court, 4 very young, progressive, liberal, moderate even, justices on the Supreme Court, and tell the goddamn maggots to go and pound fucking sand.
Yep.
And you know what, Bob? If the maggots say, well, you're packing the court, you know what you say? You're goddamn right we are.
You guys packed the court during Trump.
Goddamn right we are.
Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Honking goose step, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. We're going to shove it down your throat and you're going to like it.
Yeah. And you know what I would love to see? I'd love to see 4 non-lawyers be on the court.
Yeah, why not?
Well, was it Warren Burger or Earl Warren was not a lawyer? Which one was it?
Earl Warren was the governor of California. I doubt he wasn't a lawyer. I don't know for sure.
No, it wasn't Warren Burger. No, you know who it might have been? I read The Brethren by Woodward and Bernstein. Wasn't he out of Washington State or something? Or was it Byron Whizzer White?
I don't know. I am so fucking sick of lawyers.
Yeah,
Whizzer,
there you go.
Whizzer White was a football player, too.
Yeah, he was. And, and John Kennedy appointed him, and he turned around and fucked John Kennedy. Because he was an intensely conservative justice.
See, let me tell you what. This is like what I said last time, why we need a monarch. We need a monarch who can. I'm serious. I ain't joking. Get rid of the fucking Constitution. It's outdated. It's poorly written.
That brings me to something else. There was a Marsha Gedness Blackburn sighting today. She tweeted, "We will never rewrite the Constitution."
Even though we've done it 27 times.
Even though, exactly. And I helped.
Oh, my God, Bob. As soon as soon as I said that,
a little cowbell for that.
The shake and bake went right through my mind. Oh my God.
Earl Warren was a lawyer.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured he was.
And I hail. You know what, guys, gals, everybody, and everything in between? We need to push and push and push. And when centrists and whoever tells us, well, we can't do that, you say, uh-uh, wrong answer. Do it. Do it.
What the fuck? No, there's no justification saying we can't do that. You are specifically empowered to do that.
Yeah, you do that. You want to?
You're the goddamn Congress.
You're the Congress. See this part here in the Constitution?
See this here. See this here, Article 1.
It actually says that. And, you know, I don't know if anybody said about this earlier, but I watched parts of Biden's the town hall. Some of it I thought he didn't do so good or do so well. But I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts was when he started talking about his son, Bo.
Yeah.
And again, Bob, remember when you first talked about when the losers and suckers comment came out. This came out again, and this is the closest thing that Biden has gotten. There was some real rage in his voice and his demeanor then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I fucking hate Donald Trump. I've never actually truly hated somebody and wished ill will on them.
I think it's time for some prayers, folks. We've had
this conversation before. Charles the Bad, Charles of Navarre. And you know, it's coming. I mean, some people have said that, you know, that people who die of Alzheimer's, you know, dementia, not knowing who they are, that, you know, I guess that's not so, but no, it is a tormented life all the way to the end. And Trump's Klansman daddy died of it. So there is reason to think that something similar awaits him.
Did I ever describe to you, Bob, what I really want to happen to them? My greatest fantasy.
Is that something you're okay with Agent Fred hearing?
Sure. I mean, and you know what? You know what? I don't want to. We just had a community made miracle. You know what? I'm on a high right now. I'm not even going to risk Agent Fred. So. You know what? It doesn't matter.
You could keep it for the back porch, Steve.
Yeah, do it for RBG. Do it for RBG. That woman, I'm going to tell you, that woman, God.
She was a fighter like we've never seen.
Oh, my God. And you know what? You know, I'm not, you know, we had Bob talked about some issues she had with her, particularly on the some of the horse trading that went on earlier in the term. But you can't deny that the woman was a fighter.
Oh no! I mean, and look, I mean, it was infuriating, but it's also sausage making. And right. You know, Bismarck said the two things you never want to see made are laws and sausage. Yeah. And I can't help wondering now, and Flavio alludes to this, so they sat on that news too, I mean, that she was dying. It makes me wonder if maybe, because apparently, yeah, they, at least the family knew, and certainly the Supreme Court knew, and nobody keeps those kinds of secrets. It makes me wonder if that was behind the announcement, the blather a couple of weeks back.
I might put Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court.
Oh, God. Yeah,
jeez.
Hey, Bob, what's the name of the guy in San Francisco who just messaged you here a few minutes ago?
No, that was Matt.
And you know what? I've got tears in my eyes, too. God damn.
They're not entirely tears of grief. They're tears of fury, too, because as Clarence just put it, it's now official. Abortion rights, civil rights, labor rights, and environmental rights are in massive jeopardy.
LGBT rights.
Yeah.
Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid,
already,
all gone.
Those
all
rights gone. Are already clinging on for dear life.
No.
Even with the current court.
But let's call it what it is. Human rights.
Yes. Right.
We're going back to the 1920s, aren't we?
Oh no! That's Roger. Yeah, that's
we're
generous.
Going back to 1850s.
We're going back.
20s, the 1820s, not the 1920s.
No. Joey mentioned the anniversary of Dred Scott being upon us. The goddess of irony, sometimes she gives us a giggle, but sometimes she kicks us in the... Yeah.
But you know what, Bob? I think this is the goddess saying, okay, as motivated as you might be, get off your fucking ass and get even more motivated.
Well, here's a question. They've already got a majority, but it's a majority that old balls and strikes is occasionally broken. Steve, Billable Rick, what impact would a new right-wing turd of a justice have on the Affordable Care Act litigation that's before the court?
They would probably have to redo the oral argument to start with, Bob. Or perhaps they would just decide it based on the current composition of the court, and the only way it would go in the good direction. I guess if it's a 4-4 tie, the lower court decision stays in place, which is, I think, saying that it was unconstitutional. So if you live in the Fifth Circuit or Fourth Circuit, wherever that adverse decision came from, that would be the law of that circuit, and it would be otherwise, throughout the rest of the U.S. So the pre-existing conditions would only bar you from getting not getting overcharged for insurance if you live in other than the Fourth Circuit or whatever circuit it came from. It'll be a hot mess.
Okay, so here's the next question, and we're running out of time, but here's the next question. What impact does this have on the fact that every time he loses on one of his subpoena questions, it winds up in front of the Supreme Court?
Well, I think he gets a free pass on the subpoenas. I think that decision would be decided otherwise.
You know what, Bob? I never thought I would be in this position, but yay, states' rights, New York.
Yeah.
God damn, he is the destroyer.
Yeah, he's like that Indian god who's the destroyer, that Oppenheimer
Ganesh.
Described.
Ganesh.
Yeah, Ganesh, yeah.
No, Ganesh is not the destroyer.
No, Ganesh is the friendly elephant, actually.
Yes.
Vishnu.
Is it Vishnu's the destroyer?
Yeah.
Vishnu?
Right. It's Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Vishnu, yeah.
The members of our community from the Indian subcontinent are screaming at us right now. By the way,
they're throwing.
Yes, it's what the quote is. The quote I think is it's either from the Bhagavad Gita or the Rig Veda.
Bhagavad Gita is where it's from.
That J. Robert Oppenheimer declared upon seeing the detonation of the first hydrogen bomb. He said, "Lo, I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Right.
Sorry for ruining dinner in the Indian time zone.
Jesus.
I think dinner's been ruined everywhere.
That was the first bomb. Bob. It wasn't hydrogen.
Was it not the? I thought he was. I thought Oppenheimer was the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Well, he was involved with the first one.
That was Niels Bohr.
Niels Bohr?
Yes, the hydrogen bomb.
Oh, okay, but
Niels
Bohr
was like in the 16th century.
No, he wasn't.
No, that's not true. I don't think so.
No,
Niels Bohr.
No, Niels Bohr was not the 16th century, Steve.
He came up with the theory of quantum mechanics. Yeah.
No, Niels Bohr is very much a 20th century guy.
Edward Taylor is the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Yeah.
Steve, it's not a sport, okay?
But it was Oppenheimer who quoted and said, you know, lo, I'm becalled, become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Yes.
It was right after the first bomb at the Trinity site.
Right.
Jesus, what a thing to close the program on.
Jeez.
Unreal.
Bob, I want to close the program on a little bit better note.
Okay.
I put in my order yesterday, and I'm getting 4 approximately 30-pound tuna delivered to me tomorrow for a Sunday canning tuna day.
Oh!
Roger, I'm going to ask you as a really solemn request that you start posting all these fucking awesome canning, growing, whatever it is to the Horn chat. The Horn Facebook page, because I need to see all this good stuff.
Are you going to do it in the yellow chili sauce again? Because that was freaking amazing.
Oh my god!
Yeah, some it'll be with the Aji Amarillo sauce, but I've also got a bunch of my homegrown jalapeno peppers this year too. We'll have jalapeno pepper in.
Oh man, smoke and dehydrate some of those into chipotles. My God, that would be awesome on tuna.
Then promise me something
for Monday night's dinner. We're not going to can it all. We're going to save some of it out, and I'm going to run it through the smoker, so we have smoked albacore as well as the canned.
You're
albacore.
Killing me.
I was just going to say. Roger, what are you doing here? RBG has passed.
No, he was trying to lighten the mood. He was trying to lighten the mood, Steve.
I get it.
And I consider it lightened. I'm actually pondering now that the idea of closing the program and running over for a little sushi for Agnes and me.
Okay, but you know what? I gotta ask when we have the horn in. Please, Roger. Please. Or I'm asking Bob, I'm asking everyone, please let Roger be, like, in on the menu.
The sous chef.
That's a little bit much to ask of Roger, you know, being how he's in Oregon and you know, Horn Inn going to be here. Kind of hard to schlep his entire operation across the continent.
Sous chef, Bob, like Rick said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, managing.
Yeah, I can help out a little bit, but what I would love to see, and I couldn't bring it, would be a nice old campfire Dutch oven.
Oh, I got one of those.
What's the diameter?
10, 12 inches?
Okay. Too small.
Yeah. Figured.
I have 4 of them, and my big one, I think, is like 16 inches across.
Oh my God, Roger! You're like making me feel hopeful and despairing all at the same time. Because I'm like Bob said, I'm just imagining.
Well, and you know what? This is just late in the program, but I'd be interested in your thoughts. I was thinking, and times are still hard. Times are still freaking brutal. But I was thinking of doing a first pass on the fundraiser. The crowdfunding campaign to support the Horn Inn. I was thinking about maybe doing that next month.
Hey, Bob.
So your thoughts on that are welcome because it's kind of the last chance to do anything before the so-called holiday season starts. But, you know, like there's going to be a holiday season this year. And then we can't really do anything until March, and that puts a big stress on it.
I think that's a good thing. Get started early.
Well, I may do that. Especially, you know, what I really need is a break from the fucking 4 to 12. But you know, never mind that.
Well, Bob, I'm going to have a tough decision to make tonight. Either my Portland distilled bourbon or my Portland distilled vodka. I haven't decided.
Are you kidding me? I'd go for Portland distilled fucking turpentine at this point.
I was going to talk about the rot gut because. And by the way, Chris, if you would connect with me on Facebook.
And I got to share this because I know that Darlene speaks for all of us. R.I.P. R.B.G. Darlene says, I'm in despair. My phone is blowing up with calls and alerts. And listen, just from a mental health standpoint, I know we are all consumers of all kinds of electronic media. If you value your sanity, and I know you do, turn off, well, you know, it's like John Prine said in Spanish Pipe Dream, blow up your TV, throw away your paper. Because the gloating and the pontificating and the sickening declaration of his rampant, rank, stinking hypocrisy from Moscow Mitch McConnell and the gloating and his celebratory masturbation from Trump will be more than anyone of the strongest constitution can stand. Okay, so I stop telling us to turn off the TV, Bob. Well, not this time. Not this time. That's just me trying to offer up some sound advice. Take a breather. Give it a couple of days. Because the news cycle is going to be nauseating. And then, you know, check in here on Monday and we'll see how it's all playing out and we'll deal with it together. And it won't be quite so devastating as watching this unfold, you know, by yourself sitting there socially distant and isolated. And that's my best suggestion. It's what I'm going to do. Like I said, I think I'm going to go and chase down some sushi for Agnes and me. Thanks, everybody, for the Community Made Friday on the Front Porch Miracle. Thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough. Thank you to those of you who put the challenges forward. Thank you to Chris. And thank you to Rico. And thank you to Joey and Giraffe. And thank you to our anonymous friend. Program wouldn't exist without you, plain and simple. And the way that you keep it going is impressive and humbling. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to those of you, all of you, for sharing your precious finite time engaging in this running conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Once again, we went through a program this evening without hearing from Steve from Georgistan, and I worry, because I know Steve's dealing with a blow-up cast right now, and that's no damn fun. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Malloy on the way in about 51 minutes at HeadOn.live, the best place to catch the Malloy program. Join in on the back porch now as the front porch goes to Sparky's back porch. The conversation will continue even after this program is no longer live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Stay home if you can. If you have to be out and about, if you have to go out for any reason, wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Take your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance, not of 6 feet, but of 10, as Paul from Parts Unknown advises. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes at you blathering that he got his face cut up when he fell in the garbage can, avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Have as good a weekend as you possibly can, my dear, dear friends. Later.